3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. For Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Pycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Well, I suppose we'll mark this one down, at least here in the hills and hollers of wild, wonderful West by God, almost level Virginia. We'll mark this one down as March coming in like a lamb, which probably means that somewhere around March the 31st, the universe will drop a piano on us. Or would that be an anvil? It all depends on whether or not the universe has a Warner Brothers or an MGM sort of sense of humor. It's a lovely day here. Got up into the low 60s. Clear skies, clear as a bell. The sky itself almost as blue as the blue waters on the verges of a Caribbean island. As you can tell, I'm still not over it. Look, I'll tell you the truth. I'd love to figure out a way to put together a horn cruise if we could get enough horn listeners together to, you know, save our nickels and pinch our pennies and stuff like that. Wouldn't that be fun? Just all us, the horn family, all on a boat together? Yeah, that would be a blast. I don't know. I'll do my part. I keep playing the lottery. But it would be. It would be a lot of fun. And that blue is just breathtaking. There's nothing quite like it. I had never seen, I mean, I've been to the Gulf before. I've been to Florida, you know. I've hung out many times on the Redneck Riviera. I had never seen blue like that blue. But, well, I'm glad I got to. I'm glad Agnes got to and the kids got to. Because it just stays with you. It does. But we have entered the month of March. We entered the month of March almost, just almost, having made our fundraising goal for the month of February. We won't feel, let's not feel too bad about that. We got awfully daggum close. And you know what? It could be that the mailbox over at 1038 North Eisenhower Drive, PMB 318, Beckley, West Virginia 25801, may actually reveal that we did go over the top. So you know what? You know what? Let's be optimists. Let's say we did. Let's say that the horn did something that we have not done, I don't know if ever. Let's say that the horn actually made its fundraising goal for the first 2 months of 2011. And now we are off to a rollicking start. About $150 to the good for March. So $150 down, $2,350 to go. We can do this. We can do this. But I'm not gonna get all crazy pitching this evening. No. I don't think so at all. But it can be done. It can be done. I've got a nice, temperatures are dropping again. I've got a nice hot cup of, ginger peach decaf tea. I'm very relaxed. This stuff is liquid Valium. Who am I kidding? You see, you're supposed to slurp your tea. That brings the air and the tea in contact with the taste buds, and you get the full, oh, shut up, Bob. But anyway, I'm all ready to go tonight. But I got to thinking about things. As the way things are shaken out, we didn't get any Moran Monday in last night. And prayer meeting Wednesday isn't till tomorrow. although the little old blue-haired ladies in the basement are busily working on their cobblers and streusel swirl cakes even as we speak. It takes a lot of work to go into, a lot of work goes into prayer meeting Wednesday fellowship dinner. Of course, the deacons are useless as tits on a boar, but that's the way it is with deacons. No, Tuesday is a sort of no man's land on the horn between Moran Monday and prayer meeting Wednesday. Truly, it's I guess we just do news, but we do have stuff to catch up on from Moran Monday. We've got a couple of nominations, one in from Gail and one in from John, and we've got other potential nominees out there as well. Well, you know, look, as long as Republicans are breathing on the planet, we will never have a dearth of Moran Monday nominees. We got plenty to stay busy about. And it's all just a question of where to start. Let's start here. This isn't so much Moran Monday or prayer meeting Wednesday. This is just more in the way of answering a question. Because I think, if I recall correctly, during our conversation last night with Andy calling from Redwood City, California, he asked the question, hey, where's Obama? And I think Sandra also asked that question, you know, the referencing his put on my comfortable shoes and go stand on the picket line with the strikers comment from way back when he was just a little candidate, Obama. Mm-hmm. And in both instances, Andy and Sandra, the question was put, where is he? Where is he with all this going on in Wisconsin? Where is he? Well, we don't know where he is right now, but we know what plans are being made for where he's going to be. Mm-hmm. Sure do. Because, you know, a presidential schedule is a very involved thing, and you don't just, you know, when you're president of the United States, you don't just get up in the morning and say, well, what am I going to do today? Another lousy day in the Oval Office. Work, 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 work. Hello, boys. Did you miss me? No. Things have to be planned out. Things have to be set up in advance, especially when you're talking about a president, because here in the early decades of the 21st century, moving a president is very much like the train of an emperor or a pharaoh. I mean, my God, it takes three jumbo aircraft to get all the limousines and motorcade and helicopters and things that go boom and bang and zip and small army of Secret Service. I mean, this is back in the ancient world, the point of reference for any Roman who was getting a little bit too big for his britches, they'd say, who do you think you are, Sampsicaramus? Because Sampsicaramus was a monarch, despot, tyrant, whatever you care to call him, from Asia Minor, who traveled in high style, you know, 157,000 slaves or whatever, just absolutely festooned with jewels and gaudy baubles. Well, in the early decades of the 21st century, when the President of the United States moves around, yes, he goes in state. He goes, yea, verily, like unto Sampsicaramus of old. You can look him up. Sampsicaramus. Sampsicaramus. It was not meant as a compliment. But so we know where Barack Obama isn't. He did manage to say some nice things while speaking to the National Governors Association. He managed to say some nice things about the working folk in Wisconsin. He just doesn't intend to go there, if you know what I mean. No. The plans are in the works, though, for the president to hit the road. President Obama will hit the road for sunny Florida. And you know what? It is March. It's the first day of March, and March is traditionally the beginning of spring break season. One of the things I found out that was kind of surprising while we spent a day in Fort Lauderdale. We landed in Fort Lauderdale a day before the cruise left. And back in the day, you know, when I was riding my dinosaur to spring break, Fort Lauderdale was where you went. But everybody down there told me, nah, it's not Fort Lauderdale so much anymore. They go other places. Man, Fort Lauderdale was a blast. Woo-hoo! What I remember of it, at least. So far be it from me to criticize the president for going to Florida in March. Even presidents need spring break. I just don't know if, I don't know how Michelle would feel about Barack being down there going, show us your... No. Mm-mm. That's just not, it's not presidential. But then again, the right wing doesn't think he's presidential either. Did you see this? Did you hear this? We'll get back to this in a minute. It's all Moranity, so, yeah, it's all in the game. I think we finally know how it is that Mike Huckabee thinks he's going to get elected president. Because Mike Huckabee apparently thinks, and I think, was it David from Maine the other night who pointed out that there may be a whole lot more of these birthers, baggers, deathers, tenthers, thirteenthers, and various assorted sundry booger eaters out there than you and I really realize? I think that was David from Maine. Well, Mike Huckabee apparently agrees. Because here in, what was at the time, February 2011, Mike Huckabee showed up on the Steve Maltzberg show. Maltzberg. Sounds like an ice cream creation. On WOR, the Steve Maltzberg show. And he was asked some questions about Barack Obama, of course. Well, you just got to kind of hear it to believe it. Trust me. Here we go. Someday.
So maybe. You would be different than McCain in many ways. You would confront him, especially now since you have 4 years of policy to scrutinize, correct?
Absolutely.
All right, one more for you.
That's the key, is to go head-to-head and show the clarity of differences between the two.
One more for you. Two more, but the second one will be short. Don't you think it's fair also to ask him, I know your stance on this, how come we don't have a health record? We don't have a college record. We don't have a birth certificate. Why, Mr. Obama, did you spend millions of dollars in courts all over this country to defend against having to present a birth certificate? It's one thing to say, you've seen it, goodbye. But why go to court and send lawyers to defend against having to show it?
Wait. Is this Steve Maltzberg or is this Alex Jones? Or is there a difference, apparently? No, so this ought to be easy, right? I mean, everybody's, it's in Hawaii, it really is. Only the silliest, the most, well, you know what I mean. I mean, nobody, come on. So, Mike Huckabee, you know, he's been a serious politician, he's been the governor of Arkansas and stuff, he ran for the presidency. I mean, he's not going to give life to any of that lunacy, is he? Oh, wait.
Don't you think we deserve to know more about this man?
I would love to know more, but what I know is troubling enough. And one thing that I do know is his having grown up in Kenya, his view of the Brits, for example, very different than the average American.
But they have what? What? Having grown up in Kenya? I mean, we've just listened to that together, didn't we? Having grown up in Kenya? Did I miss something? I mean, I know he spent a few years in Indonesia, right? Because Fox broadcast that he went to a madrasa. That's where he became a Muslim? Not? His upbringing in Kenya. He's got a different attitude toward the Brits. Hmm. If by some miracle Mike Huckabee were to actually read American history and find out that Thomas Jefferson didn't have a very kindly reputation toward the British either, would he accuse Thomas Jefferson of having grown up in Kenya? Anyway, let's go on.
Winston Churchill,
a great insult to the British. But then if you think about it, his perspective as growing up in Kenya with a Kenyan father and grandfather, their view of the Mau Mau Revolution in Kenya is very different than ours, because he probably grew up hearing that the British were a bunch of imperialists who persecuted his grandfather.
Well, maybe only because they were? We receive contributions, notes, emails from folks in the UK. And I know it may be a little bit later there, but if you'd care to call in for a minute and just confirm this, because I'm that's the thing. When you start wading off into the right-wing swamp, all of a sudden everything you thought you knew sort of goes on its ear, and you wind up wondering and scratching your little head. And Great Britain was an empire, wasn't it? I mean, I didn't just read that. That didn't come in on a bubblegum wrapper, did it? It was called the British Empire, wasn't it? And if one is an empire, one's policies are, by definition, imperialist? I mean, isn't that how that works? And, in fact, weren't the British a little bit, shall we say, less than receptive to notions of Kenyan independence? I mean, if I've got this wrong, and if I'm somehow slurring her nibs, or whoever those two welfare queens are who are getting married over there, set me straight. But I could almost swear that Great Britain was an empire and that its policies were imperialist. It'd sort of be counterproductive to be an empire and not have policies that were imperialist, wouldn't it? Empires do imperial things, right? I don't know. But we'll go back.
Despises the West, he despises the Brits, and I think he could take it all out on Israel, and that's why he despises Israel. He's not too thrilled with our history either. But let me just try to get an answer from you. Would you say...
Oh, I'm going to kick something. Hey, despises Britain, he despises the West, he's not too crazy about our history either. Well, Jesus, Steve Maltzberg, maybe there's some stuff in our history that one ought not be crazy about. Just saying, you know, Colonel Chivington, maybe? The genocide of first peoples who happened to live in the southeast of the United States who were forced to march to a god-awful place like Oklahoma? And who died by the scores along the way? We call it the Trail of Tears. Are we supposed to be proud of that, Steve Maltzberg? And then, of course, the obligatory reference, and he hates Israel! This guy's on WOR. For those of you whose universe is not New York-centric, that's in New York City. It's a 50,000-watt freaking blowtorch. You can probably hear WOR on Mars. You can probably, well, come on, it's a signal. I'm not kidding. You can probably hear WOR on Alpha Flippin' Centauri. If you're willing to wait long enough. God! Do you ever think about things like that? Because I do. I remember as a little boy, there would be comedies on TV. And I would actually, instead of laughing, I'd be embarrassed. I used to get embarrassed for Jethro Bodine.
And then I think about all of that stuff going out into space and what the and what our galactic overlords must think. Do you? God almighty. Klaatu Barada Nikto, you know? It's being heard in space. Glenn Beck is being heard in space. Because, you know, we're discovering new planets all the time. And some of them are what you would what in Star Trek lingo would be called Class M planets. Capable of sustaining life. As we understand it. Oh, you know, I just think we ought to be a little more careful. This is embarrassing. But we're not done.
Him, or at least ask him in a debate, why did you go to court and spend millions of dollars on lawyers to prevent from having to show your birth certificate if you have one and it's there? Why not show it?
The only reason I'm not as confident that there's something about the birth certificate, Steve, is because I know the Clintons felt, and believe me, they had lots of investigators out on him. And I'm convinced if there was anything that they could have found on that, they would have found it, and I promise they would have used it.
Let me just give you...
Ah! Well, that's a twofer. That's on the one... Well, the only reason I don't think he's a Kenyan, a born Kenyan, the only reason I don't think he's a born Kenyan is because I know those Clintons, and they're killers. Haven't you seen the Clinton Chronicles tape, Steve? The only reason I'm not as confident that there's something about the birth certificate, Steve, is because I know the Clintons well. And believe me, they have lots of investigators out on him. Really? Present tense? Mike? Have? The Secretary of State of the United States? Has investigators out on Barack Obama's tail? What, they can't find 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? They're talking into their wristwatches going, I don't know, he might be there, I'm not sure. Now, I'm convinced that if there was anything they could have found out, they would have found it, and I promise they would have used it. That's a twofer. That's a resurrection of the old Clinton Chronicles, you know, dirty murdering thugs, MENA airport garbage. Conjoined to the, he's a fascist, Lamanist, Kenyan, Muslim, with a deep-seated hatred of Winston Churchill. Wow! And you wonder why Mike Huckstabee was a successful Southern Baptist preacher. Wonder no more, brethren and sistren. Wonder no more. But we still ain't done.
In, as we end here, the Clintons probably, there was probably a lot on the Clintons that the Obamas could have said, yeah, you do that, we'll come back with this. Don't think for a minute. You're from Arkansas. You know that better than me.
Now, oh, Jesus. Rick Goodner, psychiatrist courtesy phone. Rick Goodner, psychiatrist courtesy phone. Is that a little case of projection or what?
Well, you know, sure, Mike. Yeah, they probably did find something on Obama, but Obama, he found something on them, and so therefore he blackmailed them. See how I got black in there? He blackmailed them into not using it. So he's still not a born American, and that's why he hates our freedoms.
Oh, having said that, when are you going to decide to run or not?
Probably sometime late spring, early summer. That's kind of my timetable. And one of the things I'm gauging is how people respond to the message of this book.
All right.
These are ideas, and if they say, gosh, this guy makes sense, that may help me.
Well, the book is A Simple Government. We didn't have time to get to everything in it, but you could tell from the fascinating conversation and the fascinating nature of the man that the book will be equally as fascinating. Governor, hope you'll come back, sir.
I look forward to it, Steve. Thank you.
So do we all, Mike. And thanks to the valiant, brave, take one for the team folks at Media Matters for America for grabbing that little snippet. I don't have the patience. Yeah, I grew up in Kenya. Beautiful, no? Now, Barack Obama and I were born about the same era. Let's see, maybe a year or two younger than me or a year or two older, not sure, don't care. And it can be said of me, for instance, that I grew up in Alabama. Because I spent the majority of my first 18 years there. Then I hit the road for college and never really looked back. But I grew up in Alabama. Now, I was born in 1963. So, 63 to 81. Yeah, that's the first 18 years of my life. So, to have grown up in Kenya, by extension, Barack Obama would have had to, oh, I don't know, 64 to 82, 62 to 80, 61 to 79, you know, those first 18 impressionable years. Some significant chunk of those would have had to have been spent in Kenya. I mean, is there a flaw in my reasoning? Just asking. So, let's go to a passage from Obama's book, Dreams from My Father. He writes of his first impressions of Kenya the following. Kenyatta International Airport. Let me see. Wait, let's see how my Obama's going these days. Tea slurp. Kenyatta International Airport was almost empty. Officials sipped at their morning tea as they checked over passports. In the baggage area, a creaky conveyor belt slowly disgorged luggage. Alma was nowhere in sight, so I took a seat on my carry-on bag and lit a cigarette. Holy shit, he was smoking when he was three! Oh, wait. After a few minutes, a security guard with a wooden club started to walk toward me. I looked around for an ashtray, thinking I must be in a no-smoking area. But instead of scolding me, the guard smiled and asked if I had another cigarette to spare. That's how those Kenyans are. They'll bum cigarettes off of a four-year-old. That's how sick they are. That's why they do things like hating Winston Churchill. Because, you know, they'll take cigarettes from a baby. This is your first trip to Kenya, yes? He asked as I gave him a light. That's right. I see. He squatted down beside me. Well, you know, being three, he probably had to. You're from America. You know my brother's son, perhaps. Samson Otieno. He is studying engineering in Texas. I told him that I'd never been to Texas, and so hadn't had the opportunity to meet his nephew. Well, you gotta figure, when you're 3, 4, 5 years old, you really haven't gotten around that much, even if you have been to Kenya. This seemed to disappoint him, and he took several puffs from his cigarette in quick succession. Now, that would have been about 1965, 1968. Oh, wait, no. This comes from page 304 of Dreams from My Father, and it describes his first visit to Kenya in the late 1980s, where he didn't grow up. And yet this filth was poured out into the public airwaves that you and I own. I gotta say, it's a little hard to stomach. It is. It's a special... But the question is open. How many of these Looney Tunes are there out there? How many people heard the Steve Maltzberg show in the New York City market and asked it, Muriel, I had no idea. I had no idea that he grew up in Kenya. Well, it wouldn't be on the radio if it wasn't true. Oh, watchy. That's what the man has to put up with. For that, he gets my sympathy. On the other hand, not so much this. I started out talking about, you know, he's got traveling plans. He's a traveling man. Haven't been to Kenya at the age of three and so forth. No, he hasn't been to Wisconsin, and he won't be going. No, he hasn't stood in the Wisconsin Capitol with working men and women looking to save the future not just of their own local communities and their own state, but of this nation as well. No, he hasn't done that. No, he isn't going to. No, instead of spending spring break in Kenya, like any good fascist, communist Kenyan Muslim ought to, he's going to Florida, as noted. He's going to Miami. He's going to a high school in Miami. He's going to Miami Central High School. He's going to talk about improving consistently low-performing schools. That school is using the turnaround model for improvement. The turnaround model for improvement involved replacing its principal and at least half of its staff. But I can tell you that you don't necessarily want to just go jaunting down to Miami without a little local fixer. You need somebody down there who knows the lay of the land. Whether it's a concierge in the hotel who can tell you a good nearby restaurant, or a former Republican governor and member of the Bush family who can stand side by side with you in South Florida. Because that's what's happening. Barack Obama is going to visit Miami, Florida, Miami Central High School, and he's going to do so in the company of Jeb Bush. Why? Why? Now, I'm all mellowed out with my ginger peach decaf tea and everything, so I'm not going to go into some screaming fit. But why? Isn't there anybody? Janet Reno's from South Florida, isn't she? I'm sure Alan Grayson might be available. He probably could find Miami Central High School. Anybody. Even a mugwump like Bill Nelson. Anybody. Jeb Bush? Really? Jeb Bush? I'm a little sick. That's just gross. Can we never be free of this grubbing, grasping, greedy little gang of up-climbing thugs from the Bush family? Are we never to be free of them? Or is it just me? Am I being unreasonable? Why not bring Neil? You know, he's got an education software company. And get W into the action, too. Let's just get pearl clutching old Babs and old George H.W. up there, too. Just get the whole little clan together. And then maybe Babs can say of Barack Obama, as she said of her own grandchildren, her grandchildren by Jeb and his wife, who happens to be Hispanic, Yeah, this was the 1988 Republican National Convention when she was in the audience and she was pointing out all her grandchildren. And she said, and those down there, those are Jebby's kids. I call them the little brown ones. The little brown ones. Maybe she could stand on stage at Miami Central High School and say, and this is my son Jeb, and this is my son George, and this is my son Neil, and this is the current president. He's a Kenyan. I call him the little brown one. Why the hell not? So... yeah, you know, it's just not that warm in Wisconsin yet. And as a guy who likes warm, I gotta say, I have some understanding. It's not warm. So you'd rather go to Florida. And what, does Jebby own Florida? There is not one Democrat. There is not one Democrat. Not one. Who would be suitable to appear on stage at Miami Central High School in Miami, Florida, with the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and instead they had to go for Jebby Bush. Because I guess all those poor folks in my... Because, remember, this is an underperforming school. That means it's not a wealthy school. It's not a school in a wealthy district. God. I'm sure. And Babs could look out into the audience and say, and look, everybody out there is little brown ones, too. Get me out of here! I'm open to explanations. Anybody. Jebby? Why does it have to be Jebby? Won't we be seeing enough of him in another year or so, or maybe five tops, when he runs for the presidency, after the coffers have been refilled and are ready to be raided by the Republican Party again? This is two nights in a row we've had a very clear need for that secretary of... Jesus, Barack! Kind of like that dude that held the wreath of laurels over the head of a triumphing general back in the day. And whispered in his ear, this is all fleeting. We need that guy just walking around behind the president every now and then. You know what I think I'd like to do? I'd like to go to Florida and talk about underperforming schools. And you know who I want with me? I want Jebby Bush. And the guy standing, Jesus, Barack! We may never be free of the Bushes. And that doesn't help. But there it is. Next Friday, Miami, Florida. Tag team. Jebby Bush and the Kenyan fascist communist Muslim. But that's just how it is. And more stories to get to. But let's get to the phones first. You know the number, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on your nickel, 304-658-3333. First-time callers are always welcome. We've never had one drop dead on us yet, and hope never to. So feel free to jump right in. Jesus, Barack! I mean, it's just a little too much. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yeah, wasn't that nice?
No, it just made my day, Sandra.
I was like, oh,
didn't you just smile?
No, the fact you're going to be flying on a plane with him, too, I'm just like, what is this, you know?
Too much.
And it's just, I'm thinking about that. Then I was thinking about what you opened the show with. like, damn, you know, because it's this situation is so effed up because when he lived in Kenya, what? I mean, dude visited Kenya when he was an adult, but I missed the part when he was living there. I thought he lived.
I know, but I just love this little mental image of 5-year-old Barack sitting on his suitcase honking on a Marlboro.
I know, but no, the thing is, it's just the way that person said that, as you know, it really is scary because that's what goes on all the radio stations for so many hours, just these sort of lies. Because was he talking to Mike Huckabee?
Yeah, that was Steve Maltzberg talking to Mike Huckabee.
Right, and then Mike Huckabee, you know, is not going to correct or anything. I mean, that's the thing. It's just the height of irresponsibility. These Republicans trying to play both sides, you know, because they need to appeal to the independents. They try to pretend that the birthing thing is a bit far out. But then when they're on these shows, they're just going right along with it.
Yeah, but now Mike, but see, Huckabee, Sandra, Huckabee is a bit of a genius. You know, he's an evil genius, but he's a genius. And he has finally triangulated his way around the birther conspiracy in a way that the birthers, deathers, tenthers, and various and sundry assorted booger eaters that will appeal to their palates, okay? And that's what you heard there. That was the part that blew my doors off.
Well, I don't think he was born in Kenya just because, if he was born in Kenya, those bloodthirsty murdering Clintons would have known about it.
And the thing is, Emery and Eileen will sit there listening to the radio going, you know, I never thought about it that way, but it's true. God, Sandra.
I mean, oh, no. It's just because that's why it's just so twisted because, you know, I have to listen to that and think, oh, my God. But then I have to read about this fool flying on Air Force One with Jeb Bush going to talk about how we can continue to fuck over inner city schools, and especially schools where, you know, brown and black people are.
Yeah, you know, that's not, you know, that's not going to be an audience full of smiling, bright, white, shiny faces.
Well, not only that, but I mean, that's the problem that I have with our neoliberal president. It's like what he's advocating and getting away with, it's like wet dreams for the right. Because think of this black community black grant that he's annihilating. Let me start with Nixon, didn't touch it. Wanted to, didn't. Ford, Reagan tried, Bush and the other Bush, they all tried but didn't dare. Here we are in 2011, and this motherfucker is going to cut those programs in half. He is advocating not a peek from the so-called dead left. This is why I...
Yeah, where are we? I mean, wait, no, where is no, that? Where is that mythological left, Sandra?
I'm starting to really hate... Yeah, exactly. I'm starting to really hate the sort of spongy liberals out there because...
Yeah, they ain't crispy.
No. And it's just kind of like, you know, why are you not writing blog posts and talking about this attack? Because it's a direct attack to finish off the Great Society LBJ, because that's where this program came directly out of. The community.
Absolutely.
And the thing about it, you know, we don't have a overt safety net in this country. It's talked down to death. But these block grants, that is the safety net, and it helps people in the rural counties almost more than the urban centers. So these programs are absolutely crucial to address the 50 million people who are in poverty in this country. You think it's bad now. If he wipes out those programs, you see what I'm saying? I mean, this is really serious. This is like, you know, I am gobsmacked.
Well, that's why, you know, that's why I said last night that, you know, that the Republican Party, and of course, you know, being aided and abetted by a Democratic president isn't any help. But, you know, the Republican Party really are. They're throwing matches and screaming, burn, baby, burn.
Well, and it's just kind of, but it's just, you know, it's stunning. And you should, you know, I've been reading some sort of responses to just that cut that he's trying to do. There's a lot of people who are totally, they were sideswiped by it, Bob. It was not, even the main lobbyists for the grants, if you can say that they have. have one, was completely sideswiped. He was in the audience of the State of the Union, and he didn't even know those cuts were coming. So, you know, what's going on?
I could offer the pat answer that, you know, he's just one of them.
Well, no, but the
but I don't think, but I don't think that's a, I don't think that's adequate to the needs of your inquiry.
Well, no, I just think, you know, I don't, I mean, that's why I was talking about, you know, is Angela Lansbury, where is she? You understand what I'm saying? I'm really starting to get totally paranoid about this president because, you know, Bertha screaming aside, his actions are just really becoming detrimental to the vast majority of people who are trying to survive in this, godforsaken country. Because any country that is doing their damn best to take away bargaining rights from fucking taxpayers, and I could kiss you for bringing that point up, because it's never talked about. We're talking about workers, state workers, federal workers, as if they're what? Not taxpayers, that they don't, they're just sort of aliens who are sort of getting money from the state. You know what I'm saying? It's never brought up, and that those fascist whisperers at Radio Rwanda, damn, that name is so apt, because they are really going all out with their Radio Rwanda act right now. I've never, you know, it's amazing how apt that term is for that organization, because they are just sort of pouring it on thick with their anti-union whispering. It's hideous.
And if I didn't think that it was hitting people and sticking, I wouldn't worry.
Well, that's just, no. When I say Radio Rwanda, it ain't no joke. If you know the history of what they did in Rwanda to gin it all up, no, I am absolutely serious about this.
Yeah, no, it's not just some cute little phrase.
It's
a reference to the fact that media were used to help to exacerbate a genocide.
Cockroaches, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So, but what I'm saying is they really are acting like that sort of propagandist tool in the worst kind of way, where they're dragging up Republican operatives passing themselves off as just moms worrying about what their kids learning about labor history. I'm like, you know what? I am so sick of that.
Whoever thought, no, wait, stop. Where are they teaching labor history in this country?
Well, no, that's what I'm saying. That's what I mean about the whispering, you know, because it's just lies. And when is that pig going to be indicted? Roger Ailes. When's that coming up?
I'm guessing it ain't.
Well, no, but see, I don't understand. Because from Clinton on down, anybody who lies to officials, all of a sudden, their ass is indicted. Am I? Did I miss something?
No, you didn't. But, well, I mean, IOKIYAR. It's okay if you're Radio Rwanda.
Oh, anyway, you know, because I was waiting. I was waiting to have a happy moment when that pig was going to be indicted. And what's even more brilliant is the fact that that shit they paid $10 million for, and someone accidentally on purpose. Oh, filed it away for the public to see. I was dying on that. I said, there's your public workers in effect.
It's, well, but it goes on, and it, you know, we talk in terms of Radio Rwanda, you know, Fox, but you know, they're not the only problem. You know, I'm sick to death with eliminationism, Sandra. And to hear this latest clip from John Boehner, have you run a...
They are just Scott Walker all around.
I got 21 seconds of John Boehner talking to the Christian Broadcasting Network here. Just 21 seconds. Stand by, Sandra. Here we go.
In some of these states, you've got collective bargaining laws. That are so weighted in favor of the public employees that there's almost no bargaining. You know, we've given them a machine gun, put right at the heads of the local officials, and they really have been had their hands tied.
Yeah. Public workers have a machine gun to the head of the country. Now, how long before another one of those dudes that went after the Tides Foundation or blew away the Tennessee Valley Unitarian Universalist Church, Sandra, how many more times does John Boehner have to say machine gun to the heads of before he goes out and acts on it? God almighty, we aren't 2 months out. We are not 2 months out from Tucson.
Well, yeah, but you know that wasn't going to stick. You know, that's just like a momentary blip, and then we're right back at it. And in the meanwhile, why isn't Wall Street in jail? You see what I'm saying? I'm so done with what the real story is. It's like multiple prongs, the biggest one being that the economic crisis is a result of Wall Street, and the fraud has not been dealt with, which is why we're at a standstill. And the global economy is destroying the middle class because, oh, looky see, we have one world now, a pool of labor. So the middle class here can't sustain that in the long term.
No, and speaking of the middle class and, you know, trying to keep its head above water, been to a gas pump lately?
Oh, no, listen, and that and is also disturbing because guess what? When you have a sluggish economy, the demand isn't actually going up. So what's going on? There's still plenty of gas around. And may I also offer this to President Not Sure? Strategic oil reserve, motherfucker.
Yeah, turn it loose.
You know, what's the deal? You know.
And yet, with a party line vote. Party line vote.
They protected the subsidies, right?
Yeah, the House today protected with 12 Democrats joining in for the fun by 249 to 176. The Republicans protected oil subsidies.
Right.
Now okay. I put gas in the big rusty red pickup truck today, to the tune of $30. It did not buy me 10 gallons.
Yeah, no, I just filled up my little Toyota, and it was all of a sudden it was $50. I'm like, 50 fucking bucks? What? And
in a Toyota?
Yeah.
What, do you got, a Land Cruiser?
No, I don't. I have a Camry. You know, it's all small shit. I don't be rolling like that.
With the bottle of Cristal hanging out the window? No.
You know, with fucking bling everywhere. Yeah, sure. But, no, it's incredible.
Well, I paid $3.46 a gallon.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot for your part of the country. Wow.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, it's a 12-mile round trip to go for a loaf of bread.
Yeah, no, listen, it's going up, and trust me, between these people with the endless cuts in Washington, the gas going up, they're saying that they could possibly cost a million jobs with their machinations in Washington. And keep in mind, there's still the blackface in the White House. People are all upset, but they forget that, well, their main goal is to get rid of Obama. So if they want to have the economy annihilated and double dip in next year, well, all the more, right?
Right, because then you move into the election season and you campaign on see what happens when you let one of those Kenyan anti-imperialists with a strong distaste for white people, see what happens when you let one of those in the White House?
Well, and it's just kind of like, you know, I've been reading a lot about the different cuts and how, you know, Krugman with the poor children. And once again, it's like, yeah, all this is so true, but check the source. What's with the wide-eyedness of it? Where's the wide-eyedness coming from?
Yeah, and you were surprised?
I'm just like, I appreciate the column, but I'm more reading Bob Herbert, because that brother been talking about this shit from the day Obama was in. You know?
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't the I'm shocked Captain Renew routine just ain't playing with me anymore.
No, I'm just like, well, what in the world? I mean, I appreciate the analysis, but you really got to shake loose with the, oh, how can we be doing this to our future? Well, if you don't need labor, Mr. Paul Krugman, who won a Nobel Prize, by the way, I had to take a class where I used his free trade book. Don't get me started. So if you have the one world of labor, well, the policymakers don't give a F about what the workforce is going to look like 20 years from now, okay?
We have no idea, do we?
And if, you know, I'm just saying, the concern, you know, of no concern for the kids is fits nicely with the, oh, well, we need to have people making 20 cents an hour eventually, so what's the education for narrative?
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, and I'm just saying that unless we plan on fighting back, you know, that's the future that we have to look forward to.
I mean,
I just think,
of those Democrats who voted with the Republicans to preserve the oil subsidies.
Yeah.
I guess sometimes being where you're from, Trump's what you're for. Sheila Jackson Lee. Out of Texas. Yeah, she voted with the Republicans. Save those subsidies.
Obama or his administration okayed the first, you know, deep well in the Gulf of Mexico. And, of course, you had more of the, I'm shocked. But I'm like, they are okay with 4 million people getting sick and dying of God knows what down there. So, once again, why?
Well, you know, that's the Alan Grayson thing. It's die quickly. And if the people on the Gulf would just quit hanging around and die, then we could quit pretending that BP has a problem and that the government has a problem. And we could, you know, pay this guy however many millions of dollars a year we're paying him. And everything would be cool.
Well, listen, I just have to shift for just one second because, of course I'm kind of like, and this is shallow, but I see that Christian Dior got rid of John Galliano because I guess he had some anti-Semitic breakdown.
Oh, yeah, a Nazi will out himself sooner or later.
Well, and I was like, dude, you know, I didn't even realize that shit was illegal like it is in France. Is it the same for when they lose it and start going on an anti-Muslim rant, though, I must ask? Is it across the board?
Yeah, I think hate speech is hate speech.
Hate speech, okay. So, yeah, because this fool, there's a video out and all these different people have popped up. I don't know.
Yeah, what did he say? Oh, he said, oh, I love Hitler. If Hitler had gotten his way and whoever he was talking to, he looked at him and said, your mom and dad would have been gassed.
Yeah, no, it was just some crazy, you know, just craziness. It's amazing when they snap.
But remember, we're talking about the world of high fashion, and lest we forget, there's a long and indistinguished sleazy history in the fashion world of a real passion for fascism. Remember, Louis Vuitton. The Louis Vuitton outfit was decidedly Vichy at best and Nazi outright. You know, you had Coco Chanel swanning around occupied Paris with a goddamn Nazi on each arm.
Yes, that is so true. And also we're talking about France, you know, the Dreyfus Affair. I mean, they got a long, sordid history with it. So when this fool shit popped up on YouTube, I was rolling, and it was on the front page of the New York Times. So he really should have kept his mouth shut. And if we're in the same storyline, Julian Assange seems to have some sort of issues with some Jewish conspiracy, too.
You know, and that's why I just routinely disavow it all, because I despise anti-Semitism. I despise it. But it seems like it's just all over the place. You know, one minute it's, you know, this is a lovely petty four. And the next minute it's, but the coffee sucks because of the Jews. You know,
because I'm thinking, oh, Julian, I know you're under pressure, but it always slips out. It's like, dude, get a massage. Keep your mouth shut.
I mean, did Mel Gibson have his number? Be able to call him up, dude, I know how it feels.
Both of them, you know, it's a triangle, Assange and Giuliano and, you know, crazy bipolar Mel Gibson, Charlie Sheen, all them fools.
It's since we're up to our elbows in shallow at this point, Sandra.
Have to go there.
Can we please stop with Charlie Sheen? I mean, not you and me. We're shallow. The for-profit media that gets a check. Bless her heart. You know, okay, I've made the guilty confession that because we have to get up early here, yes, has given the choice between the woman on CNN who has the thing on her face that just talks to me and Morning Joe. I watch Morning Joe. Because I'm shallow. But God almighty, poor little Mika Brzezinski, you know, who's surrounded by all those fascists and ain't exactly a liberal in her own right, but they were getting ready to bring a guest on to talk about Charlie Sheen, and she poked her pretty little blonde head up and said, do we really have to do this?
Shut the hell up. Listen, I have been avoiding the Charlie Sheen thing. I don't even know. Only thing I saw was that he had some kind of, I guess, some... They act like his association with Alex Jones is new. That fool been talking with Alex Jones since 2001.
Yeah.
Why is it new?
Well, wasn't it Charlie that went on Alex Jones to say that anybody who wasn't a 9/11 truther didn't really, you know, that they were the conspiracy theorists? Wasn't that him?
Yes, I'm saying. So it's been going on and. That's why, the reason why I brought him up because, you know, my head almost exploded last night. I think it was last night or the night before when, Malloy lost it there for a minute.
Yeah.
he's talking about Charlie Sheen. I was thinking, yeah, I agree, but I didn't realize it was so saturated.
So Morning Joe ends, right? And yeah. This stuff's just running in the background. And the next show with some perky woman and Chuck Todd. And God, that sounds sexist of me, but I don't mean for it to. I just don't know the woman's name.
God, I hate him.
And they're sitting there bantering back and forth. And they have a segment in which they show, they put a Chiron up or whatever. And it's a graphic of a picture of Charlie Sheen and a picture of Muammar Gaddafi. I kid you not. And the question is, who said it, Charlie Sheen or Muammar Gaddafi? And they had a little on-screen quiz where they'd bring up just goofy-ass quotes. And, you know, the first time the Chuck Todd said, oh, that's clearly Gaddafi. And it turns out it's Charlie Sheen. And it was clear. Good God, Muammar Gaddafi has had people mowed down, stitched in two in public streets in Tripoli. Charlie Sheen may have a drug problem and like hookers. God bless America, Sandra. Really, this is professional broadcasting?
Yeah, I can't believe that. Considering that man is gaffing his people and, you know, threatening with the bombs and, I mean, are you kidding me? No, I missed that one. How do you put two people in the same sentence? Wow. Well, no, I just think that, I guess, it just sort of epitomizes the for-profit media. It's so pathetic, actually, really. Think about it. It's all the stuff that's going on. It's really depressing and pathetic.
I mean, I was sitting there watching that, and I just had this little mental image of Edward R. Murrow rising up out of the grave and walking onto that set and just pistol whipping the both of them. Just yeah. Get out. You want a job like that? You go do entertainment tonight. Go on, get.
Yeah, no, I mean it's way special. I mean, although I have to say I do enjoy the sort of exploding anti-Semitism. That shit seems to be everywhere.
Well, and it is. And, you know, that's why I have, a considerable degree of sympathy for outfits like the Anti-Defamation League.
Sure.
Now, you know, every now and then Abraham Foxman says stupid shit like, well, we just have to put up with some people's bigotries talking about the,
right.
You know, the 9/11, not a mosque.
Right.
But often they say, you know, listen, it's out there. It's still everywhere.
Yeah, no.
And you know, you get moments like this and you go, oh, damn, they're not kidding.
I always, I'm always taken aback, you know, and I'm just sort of reminded. I'm like, ah. And then, you know, I'm just, of course, the Pope's face pops up in my mind because what can I say? It's like a permanent fixture, you know?
It's, well, and I don't know what has to happen to clear the planet of it.
That's really
because it seems to replicate through the generations. Because this guy, this Galliano guy, you know, he's not like, you know, so and so Galliano, age 90.
Well, no, exactly. Oh no. And he, you know, he's a valuable asset to Christian Dior. So obviously, they were like, oh no, he gotta go.
Yeah, because you're sitting there at your little CEO desk with your, you know, with your forehead in the palm of your hand, going, not again.
Oh, listen, I have to mention this. This is a bit sort of a bit out there, but the whole pension thing is something that should be thrown out there. Did you know that the Bush administration passed yet another one of those Orwellian type of Protect the Pension Act in the year 2006? And what it does, it sort of defanged ERISA, which was a previous law that sort of protected defined pensions, you know, i.e. they couldn't be invested in certain type of vehicles, right? Well, the Bush administration made it so that hedge funds and all these other sort of exotic investment vehicles was now able to deal with the pension funds. What was going on in 2006, Bob? It wasn't very nice, and it got worse,
yeah,
as we all know. Well, a lot of these pension people threw a lot of this pension money into all kinds of hedge funds and things that that law opened up to. So, once again,
yeah,
the dismantling of protections in the financial industry.
Right, and where was the massive reporting on that, Sandra?
Hey, you know, I just sort of looked it up on my own after hearing something. I thought, oh, really? Is this another firewall that was breached? And I'm right. And it's just disgusting. You know, it's really important to know these things because we're being told all kinds of stories about this pension. First of all, that it's just a giveaway to those horrible union workers.
Yeah, yeah.
Who are from
Mars. A $23,000 a year pension.
So anyway, I don't know. I just was sort of taken aback by that. It's really no end to these people who only pay 15% taxes, you know?
Right. And I caught somewhere along the way an appearance by Gary Hart. You know, I always see Gary Hart and I'm like, idiot.
But Gary Hart of the,
you know, former
Fonz team on the boat hill?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, Gary Hart of Monkey Business fame.
Oh, right. Yeah, well,
you know, talking about solving America's problems and everything and talking about, you know, America's genius lies in its ability to invent and innovate and develop and we're not sufficient, you know. And he's right. You know, we're not putting the money where the money ought to be. You know, the Republicans just protected the godforsaken oil subsidies when if we're going to subsidize something, let's subsidize some sustainable clean energy development for God's sakes.
Well, what was he saying?
That's what he was alluding to. That innovation and pumping money into the green economy is something that will boost employment and put us back to rights. But you know what? For all the babbling, let's just get something straight, Sandra. The Republicans don't want to put this back to rights. It is. It is what I said it is. It is burn, baby, burn for them. They just want to sift through the ashes for the last few nuggets of melted gold that they can find and move along.
And in the meantime, we have the professional left writing articles about how liberalism can survive without unions. Have you seen these articles at all floating around?
Yeah.
It's like, I'm like, what the... And some of the comments were brilliant, like, no, what the unions need to do is to get rid of, is to operate outside of, you know, the Democratic Party totally and just be a workers' party. And see, that got my vote.
Yeah.
I'm like, we got these liberals now trying to say unions are outdated? Please, watch. If they destroy the public unions, how fast are we going to be in serfdom?
Well, look, they're only going after the public unions because they're the easiest unions to go after.
There's nothing left.
Well, no, after that, then they'll go after the steel workers and the UMWA and what's left of the United Auto Workers and the SEIU people representing healthcare workers. The ultimate goal of the Republican Party is 1890.
Well, no, but it's interesting though because it's gratifying to see some movement on the part of people saying, "Oh, wait a minute, you know, this is a direct attack on, you know, fill in the blank." Like people are saying, "Well, actually, I kind of want my teachers to be able to teach my kids." You see what I mean? There's some connections being made.
Right, and at the same time, these goons from Radio Rwanda, and this is verified now, Sandra. This is real. It's not made up. It's not a speculation or supposition. Sean Hannity, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Rush Limbaugh, the whole filthy lot of them, they are every last one of them members of the Association of Film and Television and Radio Artists. They are card-carrying union members.
Yeah, I know. I saw that.
Are the unions in such a position that they cannot vote to throw somebody out?
Incredible. And I see that felon in Florida is getting some pushback from all quarters about his stance on the light rails, on the high speed rails.
Oh yeah, they're trying to come up with community alternatives. Run it on a county basis. Run it on whatever.
Yeah. Jerry Brown is more than happy to take it. Trust and believe that. You see what I'm saying?
Oh yeah, Jerry, be happy.
We already got somebody's state money. It's all here. Bring it on.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not going to be frittered away. There will be real, live, honest to God light rail built in California.
No, they already, some sort of groundbreaking already on the first part of it. All I'm saying is that,
I mean, 2 or 3 hours from Frisco to L.A. on and not having to go through an airport or get in the air.
No, not to mention how that opens up, job opportunity. I mean, it's just so smart to have, going down to L.A. in 2 hours. Shit, that's a fantastic possibility for.
Yeah, I mean,
here. I mean, it's just a no-brainer.
See, this is one of those moments when I get all sad and think, I gotta move.
Well,
because
no,
ain't nothing gonna happen here. And see, the funny thing was with everybody else that got light rail. The poor little Appalachia, we didn't get squat. One of the places where it's hardest to build a road, where it's hardest to get around, where you've got population centers that are widely separated from each other and difficult to get to, the one place you might want to have a rail program, we got bupkis.
No, it's bad, the state of it. Okay, well, listen, I guess I should let you go, but I also have to leave you with more shallowness. But I have to say, I know this was a few days ago, but the Justin Bieber, you guys are evil because you don't have proper health care. I was like, damn.
One of those Minutemen bastards will be after his Canadian ass.
16-year-old. Mind you, he's anti-choice, but hey, we can't win them all.
Well, no, he's like genetically arrested development Jimmy Osmond. I mean, have you seen the pictures side by side? He is. He's Jimmy Osmond.
No. I mean, he's a freak. And the reason why I bring him up is because, I live with 2 8-year-old girls.
You poor thing.
And trust me, the love of Justin Bieber, I have to say, for the champion of race relations, it don't really matter no more. Don't care. Okay? These little girls are like, Grandma, take us to see the Justin Bieber movie. Sandra, can you go buy us some magazines? You see what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
It's funny. But I'm trying to organize some headphones, iPods, video, whatever, if I have to endure the movie.
Yeah, listen to Rush Limbaugh one day and get the special ditto head code so you can call and get some Bose, the noise-canceling headphones and just, listen to jackhammers or whatever while you're sitting in the theater.
Well, it's just like, you ain't lived until you've been somewhere with, because there's a clutch of these 8-year-olds, and it's just like, oh, no.
You know what's funny, though? I mean, yeah, you're seeing the 8-year-old side of it. I got 2 daughters. My eldest would probably run over him in the street if she saw him. She's just so done with that childishness. She's so grown up.
Well, the 13-year-old,
no, she's got Bieber fever. And then there's Ferg, and he gave me a side of it that I hadn't really considered, Sandra, and that is this, that the guys are in a real quandary because on the one hand, they'd like to just hate his guts. But on the other hand, if they want their female classmates to continue speaking to them,
yeah,
they must remain silent.
Oh, it starts out early. Good.
Oh my God! It's yeah. And
I mean, how old is your boy?
He's 15.
He at that age. Okay, yeah, he's gonna do whatever it takes, whatever he needs.
By any means necessary.
Oh, I'm so glad I'm my age. God, Lord.
You couldn't take me back there? You couldn't make me? No. No.
I can't even imagine what the gender dynamics are these days. I don't even know. It's probably like going to a different planet, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
I mean, are boys still just scared of women at this point at that age?
Terrified.
Okay, so I guess not too much.
Now, see, because I can't, I can't, see, I got to lower my voice because I don't know where everybody is.
Oh, God.
But see, there was this on-ship romance that happened for Ferg, and it was sweet, and the entire ship was watching. I mean, it was like this little, I mean, if they had followed him with a camera, there would have been an onboard reality TV program that was tuned into on the onboard, the closed circuit in every room.
Were they the same age? I mean,
same age, beautiful young woman, and, you know, of course, I'm proud of my son. And it was like, well, son, we got to go to dinner now. And bless his heart, he sat through dinner and because this is the influence that it has. And maybe it's a positive influence, Sandra. Because toward the end of one of the formal dinner every night in the ship, you know, had to get gussied up, put on a tie. Everybody but Hal Sparks. Hal Sparks wore a KISS t-shirt and ripped jeans to formal dinner, but that's because he's Hal Sparks. So we're sitting there at the table. Everybody's on their best behavior. And Ferg all of a sudden sounds like he's had his nose in an Emily Post book for the last 5 days. He carefully, the dinner's been served and everything, and it's about to be dessert. And he takes his napkin up out of his lap, and he folds it, and he sets it on his plate, and he says, "Father, may I be excused from table?"
And you're looking around like, what?
Yeah, what? Who the hell are you? If I go look under your bed, will I find the pod you?
I'm assuming you're nice enough to just play along with.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
That's hilarious.
And I said, well, I would not mind at all, son, if you'll tell me why. He said, I have a dessert engagement with a young woman at another table, if you don't mind.
Oh, snap. And Agnes and all this?
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And I said, well, do please, and thank you for joining us. And he said, oh, Father, it was my pleasure. And stands up all prim and proper and pulls his chair out and puts his chair back and walks all stately away from the table. Gets about three feet away from the table, and all of a sudden dynamite goes off under his feet, and he's running like he's Jesse Owens in 1936.
Oh, shut up. Well, listen, that is like the joys of parenting. How much fun was that? That's hilarious.
You know, I've got a photo of him and the young woman, the last beach that we hit, and they were walking away, and they had their back to me, and it's one of those, I think I'll blow it up, because it's pretty high res, and just put it on the wall. It's him and the girl, and they're holding hands, and their backs are to me, they're walking away, but they're still in, you know, fill the frame, you know, very evident. And they've both just got their hands up in the air, the hands that aren't holding each other. They've got the opposite hands up in the air waving goodbye without looking back. And it's like, Jesus, there's the definition of parenting.
That's hilarious. Well, she was, where's she from?
New Hampshire.
Oh, right. Wow. At least it's on the same coast.
Yeah, so what do I get for the last 3 weeks? Dad, does New Hampshire have colleges? Yes, son. Dartmouth. Because I think Dartmouth is in New Hampshire, isn't it?
I thought it was in Delaware, but what if it's all the same, ain't it?
Yeah, but so he's like, kind of hard to get into. I said, yeah, I'd start working now, and that I've got a D in science shit ain't going to fly anymore.
Well, he better try to fly right and get his head right.
You have got to get your mind right.
Get your mind right. Get your mind right.
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
well,
you know. That,
you know.
Little by little, you know, these little stories from the cruise sort of burble out. But, yeah, that was a magic. Father, may I be excused from table? You know, goddamn, I expected Jeeves to pop up with an engraved invitation card or something under a silver. Oh, jeez. Oh, by the way, a quick email before you go. Andy just wrote in. He said, a quick note regarding Sandra's ERISA comments. ERISA only pertains to corporate pension funds, not to state pension funds. State pension funds must conform to laws created by the individual state mandates. Not to worry, says Andy. There just aren't many corporate defined benefit plans anymore. Most are 401ks where you're pretty much on your own anyway.
So, okay, well, that's, you know, I'm glad to know that, you know, the state pensions still have some sort of protection. Goodness.
Well, but how much protection that is depends, as Andy notes, from state to state. So, yeah, it's nothing. That's nothing I would literally, I wouldn't go to the bank on it. Sandra, it's been a great conversation. You have a wonderful evening.
You too.
Bye now.
Bye.
Sandra calling from California. Yeah, and right, because she's got this Toyota Land Cruiser. No, $350, and I, you know, we're paying almost $350 a gallon. But I just got a note in from Cindy in the Great Northwest, and she said we've been paying $3.65 for 3 years, for the last 3 years or so. Wow, just wow. 5 years, I'm sorry. Bob, we've had gas at $3.65 a gallon or more for more than 5 years now. I'm used to paying $65 for a tank of gas. I obviously don't go out much. I wonder how long before those prices spread beyond us here in the Northwest. They really, really hate us liberals out here. No, that's okay, Cindy. They hate us everywhere. But they don't hate us so much that they don't like the money. That's their special vengeance, soaking more money out of us. Onward we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
I've been summoned.
Yes, you have.
That
was you, wasn't it?
Yes. Regarding your son, I can say this. Since he was on the lib boat, he should have gone to Isaac. God damn it.
Well, yeah, but Isaac, well, there was no Isaac.
Oh.
Yeah, but he should have gone to Isaac.
That would have been good if he, but I'm glad everything was, I'm glad he had a nice romance on that.
Oh, it was all magic. It was all magic. Well, and in fact, I was dropping a note to Peter Godbold earlier today. I sent a story along to him, but I said that if Agnes doesn't quit trying to sneak off the property and get back to the islands, I'm going to have to put a shock collar on her.
Mm.
I'll get hate mail for that.
I did just want to comment briefly for a minute on the Charlie Sheen thing that Sandra was talking about. The thing that people should keep in mind is this, is that all of these statements, all of these loaded statements that he's saying, he has a purpose of saying them. And for people who don't know the backstory, this was clearly shown when he did the TMZ interview, where he began it with, I'm not going to be put in any crackhead lighting, am I? And Charlie knows the gag. And what I'm saying is the statements that he's making, all of these off-the-wall statements, and the reason why he's doing that is because Chuck Lorre was on some tirade on these vanity cards and was slandering him on every single show. And his manager and his handlers and his lawyers told him to keep quiet, and he said, well, I don't know. If he just keeps doing this, I just can't be quiet. And he basically breached contract by putting it out there. And I think the weird thing about it is CBS let Chuck Lorre do this. He had it on all his shows, like Mike and Molly, The Big Bang, on everything. There was a comment at the end. There was a dig to Charlie. And Chuck Lorre has been known as this, as Charlie likes to call it, an AA Nazi. But it's the whole thing is just
one of those guys who took the cure and thinks that everybody else has to, too.
Yeah, basically that. And I mean, here's the thing for people who watched those interviews and understood. The thing that Charlie wanted to get across was in the TMZ interview where they didn't edit it. He was just sitting out on his porch and just talking and saying, he said, I just want to take care of my family. He goes, I may slip up on drugs. I may not. And he said, He goes, but I don't think it's anybody's business. And he goes, and then the guy brought up, goes, but your father, Martin Sheen, he's pretty concerned. And he's like, yeah, he goes, and he can make those statements if he wants to, but I'm 45 years old. I'm a 45-year-old adult, and I have five children, which is kind of like a touche moment, because if he's taking care of his kids and they're living well and he's shielding them away from the paparazzi, all of these people who are just constantly generating story after story after story and continuing to make him look like you said, Gaddafi, this is a bunch of bullshit. So that's my take on it.
David, they really did that. They compared him side by side to Gaddafi today.
And I've been reading the comments. I check out Deadline. I don't know if you – Deadline's a place where a lot of people of the Hollywood elite hang out, and they like slandering the stars of the day, the producers of the day, real, real shallow. If Sandra hasn't been to Deadline, you should check out Deadline.
Just Deadline.com?
Yeah, Deadline.com. But see, the thing is this is what people need to understand. This is all engineered, people. This is all engineered.
Sure.
Charlie is in on the gag. All of those statements he makes, he's doing this because he wants to push a fight with CBS because he knows they're in breach of contract. That's what you need to understand. They are in breach of contract because Chuck Lorre is fanatically possessive over his whole entire set. And the other thing that he said that was interesting, which is another aha moment, was Charlie leaked out on the TMZ interview. He said, you know, it's funny, when I talked to Chuck Lorre, he said he had those scripts ready. He said he didn't have any scripts ready for the show, so it's kind of funny how this all blew out like this. So this is kind of cover for Chuck because he didn't have the scripts ready. He was basically all scripted out, and he left the people hanging. He left the set hanging, and there you go. That's an example of – and here's the other thing. This is the thing that you need to understand. Who is the idiot, people? Who kept signing up Charlie Sheen? Two-year contract. It was CBS. Because they're greedy bastards.
Yeah, but see, I
don't – anytime.
I mean, where I come down, David, is I don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, I really the word is dirty to me now, but I am what once would have been called a social libertarian. I don't care if Charlie Sheen's walking around with needles hanging out of his arm. I just don't, because it's none of my effing business.
I agree with you, and that's why it's so offensive that there's so much media coverage on this shit that are on our public airwaves. And I don't know, Bob, I think it's time to put some laws in place where we don't get this kind of coverage. If we ever get that kind of power, that needs to happen, because these kind of stories that they generate.
Yeah, it's just ongoing, because, what, 5 minutes after the Charlie Sheen story, there was a story that says evidence on tapes may back up Lindsay Lohan's claim. Well, I don't know what Lindsay Lohan's claim, but I do have a question as to what the hell it's doing on a news program. God, I mean, is Inside Edition booked?
I don't know. And, you know, this goes to, the sensationalist, the sensationalism in politics. I was watching, the sensationalism that's happening right now. When you were talking about the birthers, now see, this is another thing, people, that I want you to understand. You're laughing at it, but the joke is on you. Because, see, this is all. Now, if Sandra's listening, this is why this is important. All of this stuff with the birthers ties into a book that comes in May, which is Jerome Corsi, who, by the way, brought down John Kerry with John O'Neill.
There's our boy.
I mean, it's all tied together. When something surfaces and bubbles up again, they plan this 4 months in advance, 5 months in advance. They're coordinated attacks. They understand. And here's the funny thing about it. Jerome Corsi's book is called Where's the Birth Certificate? It comes out May 2011. It's on World News Daily Publishing. Everything's all connected. Where do you think he's going to be? Oh, let's see. He's going to be on CNN. He's going to be on MSNBC.
He'll be on The View. Because we've got The View story too, David. And since you're
View.
The pop culture correspondent.
I
mean, ordinarily I would leave this story to Juanita, because she's our View correspondent.
Yeah.
But we can go to it here. Friday? I don't know. When? Monday? But The View, I mean, Jesus, this is Baba Wawa jumping to shock. Whole tank full of them. I mean, this, and there was no Pinky Tuscadero on the other end to rescue her. Jesus Christ, ABC.
Are you talking about Infowars.com?
Oh, let's go to the audio. They brought Alex Jones on The View.
Oh, yeah.
I thought Whoopi Goldberg was going to spontaneously combust.
Lifestyle, drug use, and partying, but it all started with a radio show rant last Thursday that prompted CBS to cancel the rest of the season of his hit sitcom. And we just want to show you a little bit of the clip, and then you'll meet the man he was talking to. Take a look.
Chaim Levine, yeah, that's Chuck's real name, mistook this rock star for his own selfish exit strategy, bro. Check it, Alex. I embarrassed him in front of his children and the world by healing at a pace that, his unevolved mind cannot process. Okay, last I checked, Chaim, I've spent, I think, close to the last decade, I don't know, effortlessly and magically converting your, tin cans into pure gold.
Well, joining now is the radio show host and close friend of Charlie Sheen, the man he was talking to, Alex Jones. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
This is going to take a few minutes.
I've known Charlie for about 6.5 years. He's never drunk alcohol, used drugs in front of me. He's been completely clean for almost a decade until about 7 months ago. Now he's come off the drugs and the alcohol, which is almost like, you know, being off your meds. It has the same effect. So he's supercharged. He's angry. He's focused. And I know that when they interviewed him at his house, because I talked to him, they interviewed him for about 2 hours.
Excuse me? Alex Jones is now a substance abuse expert?
Yeah.
Okay, more.
That's a little kind of joke that's out of context. He's tired of being judged and him being held up as the ultimate demon in this world. He didn't kill a million people in Iraq. He wasn't involved with the takedown of Building 7 here in New York. And he thinks there's bigger devils out there than himself. And Chuck Lorre's put out a whole bunch of these cue cards while having management tell him a month ago, if you speak out against 4 episodes being cut, we're going to fire you. Then he starts putting out all of these. Chuck Lorre. He starts putting out vanity cards, not just on 2.5 Men, but on other shows, saying Charlie Sheen is dead inside and soulless. You didn't show the worst one there.
Is it just me, or is listening to Alex Jones a lot like listening to a man in the circus gargle razor blades, David?
Charlie's told, we're tying your hands. Now we're going to beat you up for whatever contract.
Let me ask you. So the question that I have is, so you're saying Chuck Lorre started this?
With the vanity card.
With the vanity card.
And up front had management, according to Charlie. I've been there when he's on the phone with his management, or his manager comes over.
Talk too fast for me, baby. Slow down.
Well, I know we don't have a lot of time. I'm getting on record.
Right.
They told him, before he said a word, they said, we're doing this, and if you criticize it, you're going to be fired. And he said, why are you telling me this?
Cue Roger Waters again. We are amusing ourselves to death, David. For anybody who's furiously typing a note to me right now for email, Bob, why are you wasting time on this? I don't give a damn. I don't give a damn about Charlie Sheen, Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, or any of the rest of them. I care very little for pop culture, frankly. But I do care about what happens on the public airwaves. And again, this is an ABC property. It goes out, it's not just on cable. It goes out over the public airwaves.
Right.
And it's video and audio poison. It's another, how many people say, look, I'll give this to Alex Jones. He is the consummate huckster. All right. About this appearance on his radio show.
We'll be able to inject Infowars.com into the discussion when I'm on those broadcasts, and the people will come here and find the larger picture. It's kind of the red pill.
Let's just as he said, for the record, some of the things that Alex Jones says. His sort of grand unified field theory of it all is that the New World Order is comprised of secretive, powerful elites working behind the scenes to rule the world through an authoritarian government. And he's told his listeners that the New World Order will exterminate 80% of the world's population.
Well, you know what? The New World Order ain't going to have to do it, and there's nothing secretive about them. BP, Alpha Natural Resources, Massey Energy, Chevron, GE, the Koch brothers, on and on and on, are doing a damn fine job of getting us to the brink of eliminating 80% of the population without any secrets, no shadows, no cloaks, no damn daggers, David. You know what I'm saying? You know, he's of course just a dipped by the heel 9/11 truther. You'll notice he mentioned Building 7, and I'm not sure what Jones's position is, whether it committed suicide or was shot trying to escape. I don't know. He advances the theory of secret FEMA concentration camps. Now, the fact of the matter is, there may be some truth to that, because they were being constructed after Katrina during the Bush administration. But now that it's the Obama administration, Alex Jones is, and that Negro is going to put all the white people in prisons. You know, it goes, let's see, he's been out there, he believes in weather control.
Yeah.
Mass sterilization. He thinks the Oklahoma City bombing didn't really happen the way the Oklahoma City bombing. Oh, God. And the Space Shuttle Columbia disaster. Oh, it goes on and on and on. I mean, does anybody in the booking department of The View pay attention to God almighty, why not? Look, it's Charlie Sheen. Why not just invite Charlie on the show? He'll come out and say something crazy. At this point, like you say, he's doing a circus act.
That's, I mean, you know, the whole thing about it is what people don't understand is that once this gets in the bloodstream, it's poison, and you gotta detox somehow, get some of the effects, or get some of the poison out of your system somehow. But you're still gonna be ill from it. That's the point of it. And you know, the whole thing with just the way everything, just the way all media is put together now. And the way it's, you know, this kind of story right here, if this was 1995, this would be page 16 in the New York Post.
Yeah. Oh, and by the way, breaking news in from Sandra.
Yeah.
She heard you. Just went to Deadline.com, and breaking news, Charlie Sheen is now on Twitter.
Oh, you know what? That guy, that's a fake. I saw that guy.
Oh, is that a fake?
I don't think he would. Maybe he would do it. I don't know. I mean, he really wants to get at CBS. He said something about Les Moonves. But I did call for a specific reason, and I think it's it warrants something. I don't know if you know this, but Roger Nichols, the engineer for Steely Dan and John Denver, has. This kind of shit just makes you want to punch somebody in the stomach. Has pancreatic cancer stage 4.
Oh.
And here, it gets worse, though. His family is bankrupt.
Of course. And oh, wait, they live in America.
Yeah, they live in America. But here's the point of it all. Everybody in the industry, if they see this story, Bob, you can't tell me with the platinum plaques that Nichols has earned for Steely Dan, John Denver, Ricky Lee Jones, Johnny Winter, Placido Domingo, Rosanna Cash. This goes all through A to Z for music. You can't tell.
I mean, that's every genre except the Happy Goodman Family.
Right. So this is the sad thing. I'm reading this on a blog, and see, this is why it's important. I'm reading this on a blog. He's had this for 10 months. People have known this for a while that he's had this terminal cancer, and he has no place to go for funding. And what's amazing to me is he has all of these people that he's worked with. Can you imagine how many jobs?
Yeah, they'll all show up at the funeral, at the memorial service.
Can you imagine how many jobs he's done where he hasn't got paid? And here's this guy at stage 4 cancer. His family is bankrupt. But anyways, the reason why I wanted to do that is they set up a PayPal page, and it's rogernicholsfund@gmail.com. And if you go to rogernichols.com.
Okay, spell Nichols.
N-I-C-H-O-L-S. So rogernicholsfund@gmail.com. And if you're a Steely Dan fan, if you're a Donald Fagen fan, if you're John Denver fan, if you're just a fan of music in general, here's the other thing you need to understand. Nichols is the architect, and without Nichols, those Steely Dan records wouldn't sound the way they do. They wouldn't have the way they envisioned in their head. He invented different technology. You know, when you listen to the snares on you know how it sounds so perfect on the snare drums on Steely Dan
track? Yeah, like sticks hitting cornflakes.
Right. Well, what he did was he invented a computer, a quantization rhythm computer for drums, and that's the reason why everything is on time like that. A lot of times, if something is offbeat or something, this prototype computer that he invented, which he calls Wendell, it makes sense. You have a band, Steely Dan, you have a drum quantization computer named Wendell. It all makes sense to me when you're talking about Steely Dan.
Sure.
But the thing to understand is that this guy has contributed so much to music.
Wait a minute. Hey, let's do this real quick. Stand by.
Yeah.
Stand by. Speaking of snares, this just kind of popped into my head because I am a Steely Dan fan. Check this out.
Yeah.
Kind of what you were talking about.
Yeah, that is really kind of what I'm talking about. Or like the drums on Glamorous Profession. That's kind of like that was definitely the technology that they were using.
Hold on, I've got it handy.
Oh, all right.
Into the whole thing.
Yeah, I understand. And the thing about Nichols that makes him so interesting is that he worked in a nuclear power plant, and he decided to be an engineer. But when he was in high school, he lived in Cucamonga, California. Now, for people who want to know why that's relative, Cucamonga, California was where Zappa grew up. So When Zappa was starting to learn multi-tracking, he went to a wizard by the name of Roger Nichols. And that's how he developed. I mean, Roger Nichols was that kind of guy. And I was actually reading, if you go to, I'll send you a link to the blog so people can look at it for themselves and see his background and read some of the comments of some of the people who didn't know about this. And that's the other thing. The fact that people I don't know what it would have been like in the 70s or the 60s. I would have liked to think that they would have had benefits for people of this caliber or people in the music industry who have done so much and shown how many contributions they've had. But you know, the thing about it, Bob, is that this guy could easily have a benefit concert. Easily have a benefit concert
and you would hope
bills and get his medical bills paid. And the fact that, I mean, the fact that it really does say so much about the times that we live in, the fact that he has a PayPal fund to pay for his cancer treatments on a blog post on a on an engineering site. And the thing I'd want people to understand is that if you are a fan of Steely Dan, or if you're a fan of music, if you've ever messed around on a mixing board, if you are in the music industry and recording profession, in audio in any way, I would take a minute and look at Roger Nichols' history, and I would think if you think about it, and here's the other thing that really is like a heartbreaker, They'll take any contributions, people. That's how bad it is. I mean, they'll take any contributions. So don't say to me, I can't give any money. I don't have $200 or $300. They don't care. They'll take $3 or $2.
Well, I'm not gonna do any horn tooting.
Yeah, I know.
But listen, I just sent a little bit of money. I don't have a lot of money to send.
Right, right.
But I just sent a little bit. And for a particular reason, not just because I love the what he's obviously done with a lot of artists that matter to me,
mm-hmm.
But for another reason, and that is this: my pancreas is at war with me.
Mm.
I've been knocked down twice in the last 4 years now by it. And it has to do with the fact that I'm a triglyceride factory, that I generate cholesterol, and every time, I worry about it because, frankly, pancreatic cancer is a death sentence. Some people survive lung cancer. Mm-hmm. People survive prostate cancer. People survive breast cancer, colon cancer. Pancreatic cancer is goodbye. Unless you're Steve Jobs, of course. And even he's having to struggle.
Mm.
But the last time it hit me.
Mm-hmm.
The last time I had an attack of pancreatitis, again, my triglycerides were through the roof. And I've talked to doctor after doctor after doctor, David.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, well, look where your forebears are from. Because we go over diet, and, my diet is not that bad. About the nastiest thing I do is put half and half in my coffee. I don't just, I had a problem once upon a time. I used to mainline Cheese Whiz. But, I've been on the Cheese Whiz wagon for a long time.
Right.
I'm clean. They said, some of this you can't do a damn thing about. You will, you just manufacture these things. It's what your body does. And it worked. It worked for your people. I love when I hear that phrase, your people. It worked for your people, years ago. When you ate nothing but, seal blubber.
Mm.
Because ultimately, I'm a fair-haired, red-haired, reddish, blonde, blue-eyed, and Scottish, and that means that somewhere back there are Vikings. Blubber eaters.
Right.
Working 16 hours a day raiding and pillaging is hard work, and you can process all that stuff. And they said, you're just going to have to deal with it. You're going to have to take some pills. And I do to try to keep the damn stuff down. But I know how terrifying it is to have this gun. It hurts like hell.
Mm.
And to not be able and to sit there and say, I'm broke, can't go to the doc. That's there's an existential component to it, but David, there's another component that is just, you don't know whether to scream or cry. And then there's the fear, not of death. Death holds no fear, but the fear of laying there suffering. And we live in a country that says, David, that that's okay. Now, I'm just a little pissant behind a microphone.
Right.
This guy has contributed to the great weight of our modern cultural heritage. You don't like Steely Dan? How do you feel about Ricky Lee Jones? Oh, you don't like her either? Well, you're going to be a Roseanne Cash fan. Oh, love her!
Right. the thing about all of this is, the other thing I wanted to do was, anyone listening, I want you to pass this around to a lot of audio tech people if you can. If you don't have the money, or if you don't think you have if you don't have a PayPal and so forth. I just want to get the word out on this because I don't know how much time it is. And, you know, the family just announced this in January, so they diagnosed it in July. So it's obviously they had some pride, and they said, yeah, we can pay the bills. Yeah, yeah, no problem. But finally they realized, no, I mean, they're bankrupt.
And suddenly, how crazy does what Justin Bieber said sound? No, I would never become an American citizen because you're evil. You treat your people like crap. You won't let people have health care. Why would I become an American? And, you know, there was a time when everybody wanted to be an American. But not now, because we treat the vast man, it doesn't matter. If you ain't got the cash, you're trash.
It doesn't matter who we let die.
I mean, there are stories after stories after stories. Brilliant musicians, artists, sculptors, painters, poets.
Yeah.
That we have blithely let die in abject misery. And that's without regard to the schlubs like, you know, me and others.
Right.
You know, I have absolutely no ability anymore, David, to listen to some right winger tell me about personal responsibility.
You know, that's the thing about it that really gets me. Tom Hartman has this woman on the air. She's a conservative. It's not important who it is. And every time he brings up these issues, she always just chats along these talking points. And then she laughs at him, and I'm like, "Do you see what we're doing? We're having a conversation with people who don't really. Number one, they don't want to have a conversation, and number two, are basically spitting in your face. Three, being disrespectful to you and your audience. And who's the winner in that?"
Yeah. Are you asking what's the point?
No, I'm not so much asking what's the point. I'm asking that the fact is that it's like I was telling you before, how a friend, when he was talking to a politician, he said, "I can say anything to you right now," right? He goes, "You can take any amount of abuse, and yet you continue talking." He goes, "Why is that?" And the guy just smiled and looked at him. He goes, "Hey, I just want to be heard and seen."
Yeah.
So,
wow.
Yeah. And, you know, just to bookend this with everything that I've been talking about tonight, I watched the new Alex Gibney film, Client Number 9, with my family tonight. And we were watching the ending. And this is why it's not, to me, it's not funny anymore, people. And it shouldn't be funny to you, and you shouldn't be laughing, and you shouldn't say, "Oh, those Republicans, they're going to go down." let me tell you one of the little bookends at the end. So, you know, the woman that, the prostitute that they, or the escort, whatever you want to call it, the woman who they made the star figurehead for, the Elliot Spitzer affair. That woman who was the singer?
Right.
Well, here's the thing about it that people don't understand, is that every time Spitzer was giving an appearance or every time they had some amount in the press for him, they had this woman paid for and they launched her out. There's a bit in the video where they show her and she's a New York Post columnist now and she's on Geraldo. I mean, this is the kind of surrealness we're living in, Bob. She's on Geraldo. And he says, "I hear you're a singer. I'm really a fan of Christmas carols. But before we get that, I just wanted to make an offer to you. You can be a columnist here at any time or a editorialist." And it's like, what? it's all incestuously out in the open. That's why the joke's on us. And here's the other thing they were bringing up. They were bringing up the fact that they brought it back to another Republican in the same area, the same district, who did things 10 times as worse. And you know, it goes back to that, it's okay if you're a Republican, and this is the perfect example of it, because They nailed him to the wall, basically, for this for this indiscretion. And he was Bob. He was such a gentleman about the whole thing. In the interview, he said, "You know what? I don't." And that's the thing. The Republicans, they never apologize. And I guess that's part of the problem that we face right now, is the fact that Republicans can get away with anything. You know, here's the other thing before I go, which people should pay attention to. All of these union protests, all of these protests that you're seeing in the streets, the Republicans are so diabolical, they already got everything they want, people. They already got everything they want. They want to make a staged approach for people in the streets to come out and to give those unflattering images of the union protesters. I've seen them on CNN. I've seen them with their mouth hanged open, screaming, looking mad, angry. Did they do that with the Tea Partiers?
No.
No, they didn't do that with the Tea Partiers. So here's the other thing to think about before I go. Everything that you just witnessed, all of these people on the streets, these Republicans are kicking back, sitting up. Because you know what? I can't believe we got this much already. Think about that for a second.
Yeah, true. True.
So before I go, one more time, Roger Nichols Fund, NICHOLS. One word altogether, Roger Nichols Fund at gmail.com. Spread the link, or rogernichols.com. And Bob, anytime you play Steely Dan or Donald Fagen or any of that material, I think it would be a good note to mention that Nichols is in the fight for his life and he needs all the help he can get.
Hear, hear. Hear, hear.
And with that, have a wonderful evening.
Thank you, David. Take care.
All right, later.
Bye now. Yeah, so I did. I kicked a little, not much, a little over to the kitty. Sometimes you can't escape all the things that happen in the basement of the Baptist church with the little old blue-haired ladies before you go upstairs and find out what a tawdry mess it really is. Sometimes you can't escape it. Because I walk around all the time, and every time, if you've done it unto the least of these, my brothers, you've done it also unto me. Yeah. Yeah. So we'll take a little break and come back with your calls. A couple of lines open. If you're on hold, please stay that way. I hope you have. Someday we'll have a screener, maybe. I don't know. Just to let me know if you're still there. The number, of course, 877-443-2366, 877-4-HEAD-ON. On your nickel, 304-658-3333. Brad Friedman, Desi Doyen, and the Green News Reporter on their way. We'll be back after all of that and kick it in for hour three right here on America's listener-supported liberal voice right here on the Horn.
We are even with the circus, 'cause we brought tears but we didn't go in. Won't lie to him when I pull him. He's in the back doing his follow right for the cops, but you like him when he's hiding in the shells. And with all about the make it even. Look, I don't like it. This is trouble. Guy keeps getting up. That girl keeps going over to the phone. I want to talk. You just watch me. I'm gonna tell him I think you're too excited, ready to go. Well, put your foot right here. Did you get it down all right here? Well, put your foot right here. Yeah, baby, you don't want to be a little musty. She's never where you think she'll be.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Tuesday, March the 1st, 2011.
Deep water drilling permits resume in the Gulf, but that's still not good enough for Republicans. Climate scientists vindicated again. Plus, more on the Wisconsin GOP power play to privatize Wisconsin's power plants.
All of that and more straight ahead. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comments.
Big tip of my hat to Montana Republican Representative Joe Reed for introducing a bill that declares, quote, global warming is beneficial to the business climate of Montana. Yes. Especially the tourism business. Visitors will flock to Glacier National Park once it becomes Glacier National Water Park.
Well, now we're talking Montana. This is your Wet and Wild Green News Report. Okay, Des, some breaking news today. More than a dozen Democratic lawmakers in the U.S. House are calling on Republican leadership to now hold hearings, a probe into the U.S. Chamber of Commerce plot to use terror tools to target their perceived political enemies. Folks, as we've learned, like you and me and our families, as we discussed in our special episode February 15th, folks can go back and listen to that at greennews.bradblog.com. And we have more on this call for a congressional probe today at bradblog.com.
Could this mean there is some form of accountability in the offing for this insidious plot?
We'll see. It's Democrats asking Republicans to investigate their benefactors, so we'll see how far this actually goes.
Indeed.
Speaking of possible accountability, we have a report today that a Massey Energy official has been charged in the Upper Big Branch mine explosion that killed 29 coal miners last April. The security chief at a Massey Energy subsidiary has been charged with obstruction of justice and destruction of documents in the probe looking into that disaster. The Interior Department has approved the first permit for deep water drilling since the BP oil disaster in the Gulf after the firm met new, more rigorous safety rules. But that's just not fast enough for House Republicans, who plan to introduce a bill that would give oil and gas companies with pending permits blanket approval to proceed without further review.
It was amusing watching Glenn Beck yesterday complain that it once used to take just 2 weeks to get a permit to drill offshore, and now he's very disappointed that it takes 4 or 5 months to actually oversee this process and make sure it doesn't poison the entire Gulf Coast. Speaking of Fox News, here was Steve Doocy yesterday.
When you look a couple of years ago when Al Gore did Inconvenient Truth, the entire planet started paying attention to global warming. Well, you fast forward to today, and people aren't so big on that anymore because of, you know, the ClimateGate scandal and stuff like that.
Oh, the ClimateGate scandal and stuff like that.
Yes, all that stuff, except for the fact that climate science has been vindicated yet again. But you didn't hear about it on Fox News or most of the corporate media, who slavishly covered the hacked and stolen emails in the ClimateGate controversy, but have ignored the many investigations that have exonerated climate scientists of manipulating or falsifying data. Now, the sixth investigation, this time from the Bush-appointed Inspector General of the Commerce Department, again clears the scientists of all wrongdoing. The new report was requested by famous climate change denier Senator James Inhofe, Republican of Oklahoma, who has been uncharacteristically silent on these findings.
Inhofe, the man who has said repeatedly that global warming is the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on the American people. So, Des, let me get this straight. The way these fake scandals work, Fox News and their friends on the right report these phony scandals like this ClimateGate scandal, claim that it proves something that it decidedly doesn't. The non-right-wing media picks it up, all of the networks picked it up, and then later on, when we find out the scandal was a complete and utter hoax, as we have now found out in the sixth official investigation to do so, well, that's not covered in the media. The damage is done from the original scandal, and the American people end up having no idea that the entire thing was a hoax. Mission accomplished.
Now on to Wisconsin. We reported last week on the sneaky power play hidden deep within Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker's so-called budget repair bill that, if passed, would sell off Wisconsin's publicly owned power plants in secret no-bid sales. Wisconsin State Senate Majority Leader Republican Scott Fitzgerald attempted to justify this no-bid privatization of Wisconsin's electricity supply in an interview on MSNBC's The Last Word.
The idea that these power plants are in very poor condition and almost in disrepair in some instances, we'd be very fortunate to find anybody, I think, that would want to bid on these and make the huge investment. That's the way it's been characterized, and that's the truth. I mean, that is the issue that really exists.
That's the way it's been characterized. Chalk that up as a rather unconvincing explanation for why Wisconsin Republicans are willing to sell off their power plants to anybody at all, no bidding required whatsoever. I bid a dollar. Read much more on all of this and the stories we couldn't get to at our website, greennews.bradblog.com. While you're there, please click that PayPal button and help to keep our listener-supported radio on the air and fighting against folks like the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and their $12 million plot to target us. Listen to us anytime via iTunes. Follow us on the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Total Genius. It's not your mother's soap.
Hey, dude, wait 1 second. It's totally my mother's soap.
Bubble Genius. It's not your father's soap.
No. See, right here, I've got soap for my dad.
And you know what? It's not just soap. Look, stuff for my dog.
Holy crap. There's even stuff for all my pregnant friends.
And hippies.
And hey, dude, loosen that tie. Try it again.
Bubble Genius. We got your soap right here.
And don't forget about that body stuff.
www.bubblegenius.com
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Wrong button. I forgot we got a dead button. 10 minutes past the hour. 50 minutes of conversation radio left in this Tuesday night. Stuck in the middle between Moran Monday and prayer meeting Wednesday edition of the Horn. Enough waiting around. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello? Hey.
Hey, Juanita.
I didn't hear that thingamadoodle.
Well, that's because it was drowned out by the music.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm well. How about you?
I'm well.
I guess we kind of conjured you running that clip from The View. I'm sorry I stepped on your territory.
No, thank you. I tell you, I never heard them talk any time about the Wisconsin. Of course, I don't see them every day, but.
Well, you know, Charlie Sheen is so much more important than Wisconsin.
Yeah.
At least to people who define their lives by celebrity gossip, I guess.
You were talking about them having Alex Jones, though. They have Bill O'Reilly and Huckford. What's his name?
No, Huckabee?
Huckabee, yeah. You heard about him being on the radio and talked about Obama being raised in Kenya with his father and grandfather, and the man wasn't even raised with his father.
No. Barely knew him.
Not being raised there. But
yeah.
He just kept on, and then, people, they put stuff out there. You know he had to do that on purpose. There's no way he didn't do that on purpose.
Sure. Because he's got to keep the birthers in the game, Juanita.
Yeah. Yeah, because he was saying that he had a different attitude toward the British. I don't know why that was. I don't know the whole radio thing, but because of because of colonialism. Yeah.
Right. And he didn't like Winston Churchill. You know, it's illegal. It's illegal to not like Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
You know what? I bet after the Gallipoli disaster in the First World War, there are a lot of people in the United Kingdom who didn't like Winston Churchill. But let's not tell Mike Huckabee about that.
Well, I got a few little things I'd like to say about. I heard y'all talking about Governor Skinhead.
Yes. That's your Governor Skinhead. He's all yours, Juanita. We want no part of him.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, well, you know, we love you.
I know I'm not alone. The thing is, you know, our state is...
No, there's a lot of people that are despising Rick Scott early and often, Juanita.
But, I mean, it's all over. We got a lot of them going on, like him. But the thing about the speed rail, I've noticed that the Walker, you know, he's not taking the speed rail thing either.
Oh no, and neither's John Kasich, and neither's John Kasich in Ohio.
Okay, there's something screwy, ain't there?
Well, this is all manufactured policy. These aren't just isolated incidents. I don't know if you saw it, but the right wing teabagging freak up in Maine who became governor is getting ready to gut that state's budget.
Yeah.
And of course he's not gutting anything for his rich pals. Oh no.
No.
He's gutting things that matter to poor folks.
Now I've heard, this is what I've been hearing today from different people. I think I saw some of this, but some of the Democrats in the House today, and also some of the news, and it's about that Republicans are going to lose a loss of like 650.
Anywhere between 650,000 and a million jobs, yes.
Yeah. And that it's a deliberate, that they don't want a lot of jobs here. And it makes a lot of sense to me. And it, you know, and another thing is like, if we had enough jobs, it would make Obama look too good. And also, if we get the speed rail, it would make things look too good for him. And we've got, I mean, I heard you and Sandra talking about that we do have some people down here that are trying to, they're getting nowhere with him, but some of them are going to try to do something on their own, you know.
Yeah, and save it. Right.
But
hey, everything's going to be good in Florida on Friday.
What's that?
Well, if I were you, I'd start hitchhiking now, Juanita, because I'd go to Miami Central High School, because Jebby and President Obama are going to be on the stage together. Mm-hmm. Won't that just be wonderful?
Yeah, I heard something about it, but I don't know what the occasion is.
Well, President Obama's going down there to lecture poor schools and poor school kids about how to do better.
How to be president?
No, just how to be better yeah. school kids.
Yeah.
With less money.
Yeah.
Right.
But they're taking the money away, that's for sure. It definitely, and this is so crazy that all of them are taking, giving the rich folks and the corporations and so forth tax breaks.
Yeah, and that's, you know, there's a commonality. Wisconsin has that. The Snotwalkers budget has that in it. Kasich in Ohio, Kasich, whatever. Rick Scott. And again, this goon up in Maine. Dig this. Get this. The Maine numbers, you're going to love these Maine numbers from that teabagging Governor LePage. The tax cuts that he's pushing, he wants to push through. If you make less than $21,058 a year, your tax cut is going to be either $5 or $6. Don't spend it all in one place. If you make between $28,000 and $48,000, your tax cut's going to be $71 or $83. 71 at the low, 83 at the high. People making more than $119,000, they're going to get a tax cut of between $311 and $874. But here's the fun part. If you live in Maine and you get more than $363,000 a year, your tax cut's going to be between $437 and $2,770 for the very richest of the rich.
Oh, yeah.
In order to give those tax cuts, get this. This clown in Maine is raising the retirement age of public workers from 62 to 65. He's cutting the prescription drug and health care coverage for working parents program.
Yeah.
He's ending $400 of property tax relief for more than 75,000 middle-income Mainers. He's freezing cost of living adjustments for state employee retirees. And get this, if you're a retiree in Maine from state service, you know, all these right-wingers, Juanita, want to hoot and holler about how the pensions are breaking us.
Yeah.
You know what the average pension is for a retired state worker in the state of Maine?
No.
$18,500 a year.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody's going on any Monaco vacations with that.
No, I don't think so either. Well, you know, I was listening to some of the Journal this morning.
Washington Journal, yes.
Washington Journal. And they were asking about these cuts and all, and people called in. Even Republicans were saying about they didn't think it was fair, you know, to not tax the big shots, you know. And the thing is that I love what one guy said, and I said that why don't all of these lawmakers cut their salaries in half? And not get all their little perks, you know, and they have to make do with what they get. Well, I say go back to giving them a dollar a year like some of the other places. You know, what do we need them for? They're just a strain. They're a strain on us. You know.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. And I thought that they had a good. And another thing that somebody brought up, and you don't hear this much, is about every time, you know, they're talking about, we don't want our children and grandchildren to have to pay all this money. And she said, well, what about the children now? They don't mind them, what they have to go through.
No, and the fact of the matter is that whole argument rings hollow with me, because they didn't say a word about it, Juanita, when they first started running that debt up, and they ran it up with an off-the-books war and tax cuts for the rich under
right.
George W. Bush.
Right.
But no one
right.
seems able to remember that anymore, and it drives me a little bit, I got to say, it drives me a little bit crazy.
Yeah, me too, Bob. And the thing is that they keep saying, Rubio came out against the speed train. But anyway, so there's something afoot for them to all be of like mind on anything.
Well, yeah, they've got it all worked out. They worked it out ahead of time, Juanita. Like I said, this isn't just an accident that they've all happened to have the same agenda at the same
right.
time.
Just like they all say the same things when, you know, they're all...
That's because one set of individuals is pulling their strings.
Yeah,
and you can draw a line from dot to dot between all of these governors and the Koch brothers and the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and the rest of that filthy right-wing crowd whose only goal is to burn America to the ground.
Yeah. And, you know, used to be they were kind of sneaky about these things, but now they just do whatever right out and open. You heard Boehner saying...
Yeah.
Well, their jobs will be lost, so be it.
Yeah,
and Mitch
Daniels said the same thing. Yeah, but the thing is, here we are on the little teeny tiny internet radio program, and we know this. But can Brian Williams be bothered to point this out? Can Katie Couric be bothered to point this out? Charlie Gibson? Nowhere.
He's not around no more.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
He
wasn't no good when he was around.
Yeah, you might get a mention of it. You might get a mention of it from Rachel Maddow. You might get a mention of it from Ed Schultz, one of the voices, one of the people on MSNBC. But that really doesn't matter, because they're talking to us. It's the people out there in America who are entertaining themselves, amusing themselves to death, Juanita, hanging on every mention of every wacky ass word, pardon my mouth, that's come out of Charlie Sheen lately.
The thing is that I still think that a lot of the stuff comes from the church, you know, when they get up there and people. People that are still in as a church, they really believe what they're told, you know.
Yeah, and you mentioned John Boehner, that address he gave to the National Association of Religious Broadcasters this past Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess what is it spelled? NARB. He said that making deep cuts passed by House Republicans is he said it's immoral. To rob our children's future and make them beholden to China, you know, how could?
Mm-hmm.
Now this is another one of those. This is another one of those the moments, Juanita, where you just wonder if anybody upstairs is paying attention, because a lightning bolt should have come out of the sky and reduced John Boehner to a greasy spot the minute he uttered that.
Well, I don't know. I think in a lot of ways. The evil that is among us is worse than even Hitler.
I don't think you're off base. Now, yesterday, a full page ad was taken out in Politico, you know, the newspaper in D.C.
Mm-hmm.
And it came from Sojourners, and you know they are a good Christian organization.
Yeah.
And the headline of the full page ad said, "What would Jesus cut?" And then this statement, Juanita, and this ought to be tattooed backwards on the forehead of every Republican member of Congress and the Senate and all the way down to Alderman and Ward Healer, a budget so that they'd have to look at it and read it in the, when they look in the mirror. A budget is a moral document. Now, how many times on this program have I said that economic choices, consumer choices, voting, these are all moral acts, acts that involve our morals, acts that involve our ethics?
It should.
And here's what they wrote in this ad. Our faith tells us that the moral test of a society is how it treats the poor. As a country.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, definitely.
As a country, we face difficult choices. But whether or not we defend vulnerable people should not be one of them. Vaccines, bed nets, and food aid save the lives of thousands of children around the world every day. School lunches and early childhood education, tax credits that reward work and stabilize families, all are sound investments that a just nation must protect, not abandon. The deficit is indeed a moral issue, and we must not bankrupt our nation nor leave a world of debt for our children. But how we reduce the deficit is also a moral issue. Our budget should not be balanced on the backs of poor and vulnerable people. We ask our legislators to consider, what would Jesus cut?
They have no clue. That just goes...
Well, of course not, because, you know...
Their ear and out the other. It just... Oh.
Well, you know, look, I find it so laughable because, you know, there's John Boehner, Juanita, talking to the National Association of Religious Broadcasters, I'd say 90 to 95% of whose membership is Protestant. Now, Boehner is a hardcore Roman Catholic. I don't know if he realized it, but he was looking out into a sea of pasty-faced, doughy white faces that think that he worships the Virgin Mary and is an idolator. I mean, you know how Protestants talk about Catholics.
Yes.
But, you know, Mary worshipers, idol worshipers.
These people like that, like he was speaking toward, I'm sure, they're lenient toward that, just like they are toward Mormons.
Well, okay. as long as it's convenient to them. But the fact of the matter is, Boehner was talking to people who hate his guts. But at the same time, to sit there, I mean, what you said about the pulpit is absolutely true. Because when you're delivering that kind of a message, and these, you know, National Association of Religious Broadcasters, no, there should be one more word in there, National Association of Right-Wing Religious Broadcasters, because just as there is little or no so-called liberal media, there are no liberal religious broadcasters either.
Yeah. Well, let me tell you one thing I heard I thought was really interesting, and maybe you heard it too, is who's the Secretary of Defense?
Robert Gates?
Yeah.
Yeah, basically, did he kind of call Don Rumsfeld crazy?
He might have. I don't know.
I think he did.
I don't know if it was yesterday or today that he said anybody over here that wants to get into another war or any war in the Middle East should have their head examined.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think by that he kind of called Don Rumsfeld crazy, because he said anybody who would send troops to the Middle East or into Asia, American ground troops, is crazy. He said that.
When he said they should have their head examined, I heard that part. But I thought that was fun. And he was kind of teed off today with Hillary, you know, because said.
Well, somebody up in Washington is itching to bomb Libya.
What's that guy that looked like Dracula, the guy that played Dracula, that said that Wolfowitz.
I knew you were going. The minute you said Dracula, I went, oh, Wolfowitz.
Yeah.
Yeah, the guy that licked his comb. The guy that licked his comb. Yeah.
Yeah. He's got his, he's come out of his, crypt. And he's pushing, you know, saying we need to show strength over there. him and, of course, that guy that never does anything but talk, Crystal.
Yeah, William the Bloody Crystal, who isn't,
yeah.
know, even a stopped clock is right twice a day, and he can't match that.
Right. But I couldn't believe Wolfowitz, all of a sudden, here he is on the news. And he don't look like he's changed. I never will forget what he said about how we wouldn't have to spend any money over there.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I mean,
oil would pay for that war.
As we get closer to the 2012 election, all of these right-wing, the bloodthirsty fiends are going to start coming out of the woodwork. I mean, you know what they say about what a dog returns to?
Yeah.
Well, you know, right-wingers coming out in front of the for-profit media is just like a dog returning to its vomit.
Yeah. They'll return to their own vomit and yours too.
And sift it to see if they can find any money in it, sure. Yuck. Well, so much for my after show. So much for my after show dinner, Juanita. And I did that to myself.
One more thing I want to say to you.
Okay.
Your little boy, my little darling.
Mm-hmm.
He's so much like you, only more so. I thought that was just precious. Now, he's going to be something. He's going to be famous some way, somehow.
Well, I had another email earlier talking about how even
that about about him.
That why I had an earlier email talking about the fact that although I was kind of making light of it, that you know I had to have been proud, and I was.
Oh, sure, I know you were. And you know, so many people are afraid of kids at that age, and they're wonderful.
Well, I was. I mean, I was. No, I mean, half the time I was like, oh, please don't let him open his mouth and have the bats fly out, you know, because that's what you do as a parent, you know,
yeah.
you say, don't let him pick his nose at the table, please, Jesus,
yeah.
Just don't let him pick his nose at the table. Yeah. Yeah.
But they're wonderful at that age, I'll tell you.
Yes.
Just enjoy, you know, and people miss out. I mean, I know some kids are more difficult, but we shouldn't put them all in, you know.
Oh, no.
In a box.
Yeah, and bear in mind, my children have their mother's stubborn streak, which is profound, genetically welded to my stubborn streak, which is downright mulish. And you know, there can be some little loggerheads from time to time, but no,
yeah.
it was a wonderful time
well,
across the board.
Well, not going above heads, you know.
Yeah, no guarantees on that.
But people get they're a teenager, you know. It's like, no, that's just nature. That's just natural.
True.
But they say, you know, a lot of them know everything.
Oh,
isn't that what Mark Twain said?
Yeah.
He was surprised that his dad knew so much.
Yeah, he was surprised how much he'd learned between 16 and 21.
Right.
Bless his heart, yeah. Well, Juanita, you have yourself a wonderful evening. We'll talk soon.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And an email just rolled in from our buddy Robert in Japan. Good morning, Bob. Good morning, Robert. Just wanted to add my two bits on Juanita's comments on the Florida governor. Let's not forget about his attempt to get rid of teacher tenure. What is it with this war on teachers, Bob? The governor said that good teachers do not need tenure. Bosh. Good teachers are the ones that need tenure the most. Without it, it all becomes a game of politics, making sure that you're in the good graces of the new principal, or in my case, dean or president, as it can all go south. And being one-year contracts is a killer for the economy. No way anybody's going to buy a car or a house if you don't know if you might have a job or not in the next year. As someone who just got off of one-year contracts and just got tenure, I cannot tell you how great it is, especially when you have teachers who resent you like I had because you're more popular or because you work harder. It gets to be a game of politics instead of education. Story here. My wife works as an ALT. An assistant to Japanese teachers, and in your company there was a discussion as to who would be a team teacher. The one who was the most qualified was dismissed as being too smart.
No kidding. I think a young Filipino girl who constantly kisses up to the president of the company got the position, which is still unpaid. But without tenure, watch the most talented be drummed out as they're viewed as the biggest threats. As for high-speed rail, the bullet train is almost being completed down to Kagoshima. Robert likes to hand me Japanese words to see if I can get them on the fly. They're also planning a maglev line from Osaka to Tokyo, and the politics is fierce as to which towns it goes through, as each town economically benefits. Not one of those NIMBY things, not in my backyard, Buster. No, the towns want the trains to come through. That was me editorializing. Robert continues, this train is almost twice as fast as the bullet train. Too bad America will never know about this mode of transportation. One of those reasons I'm here in Japan. Thanks, Robert. You have a nice day, too. And let's go back to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob, it's Preston.
Hey, Preston, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Thanks. Wonderful.
Yeah, going after the teachers big time, and their union for sure.
Well, if there's no tenure, then what is there to stop a county school board with, say, some budget problems? Oh, look, budget problems. What's to stop them from just firing a teacher who might be 52 years old, or 60 years old, have 30 years of experience, be a great teacher, but they've been there long enough to have built up a nice salary? What's to stop them from canning that teacher and keeping the 23-year-old who's making $30,000 or $20,000 less? Nothing, right?
Right, right. And a younger teacher may also not have the same institutional memory of, say, teaching profession before all this standardized testing, you know, when there was a little bit more freedom to, accommodate to children's different learning capacities and interests, and maybe even slip some liberal ideas in there every now and again.
Ooh.
Like a Howard Zinn book for history class or labor education, like, which is becoming a crime, I guess, according to Fox News.
Right.
Get them all on these standardized tests, and it's a form of ideological control on top of being a wonderful racket for the test makers. I think there's a Bush actually involved with that.
That would be Neil.
All right. It's getting exposed, though, like so many other things. There's a quick learning curve developing and, just regarding Egypt over the past few weeks and our relationships with dictators and, the learning that's going on regarding labor. It's been fun to watch. And regarding schools, I think a lot of people are learning. Just yesterday, I heard Diane Ravitch. Are you familiar with her work at all?
Yes.
And what's interesting about her, many things, but firstly, she was an appointee of Bush the First, as well as Bill Clinton. So she was welcomed by both ends of the establishment to work on education issues. And she was initially a big advocate of No Child Left Behind and has since become completely disillusioned of it. And one of its harshest critics, I heard her yesterday on NPR, and she was just tearing it up, both on No Child Left Behind, the standardized testing, the charter school movement, Bill Gates Foundation, and that film, Waiting for Superman. She exposed it for...
Oh, that thing was such a filthy fraud.
It is anti-union propaganda big time, and it was interesting because the interviewer said, well, that film was so popular, and she was like, no, actually it wasn't. It didn't do well in the box office at all, but it had great publicity from the elite.
Right, and what I was saying with Juanita a minute ago, Preston, again, these are not isolated incidents. It is no accident that you had all the ballyhoo and hoopla over Waiting for Superman, and then a year later, there's an assault on public school teachers.
Yep.
If we just sort of blithely let that fly by and don't realize that these are coordinated efforts, then we can never begin to fully and truly and effectively oppose them, can we?
We can catch up to it. We can be late, but there's no sense in falling behind if we don't have to, and we need to, like, keep an eye out, definitely, and watch their trends and their strategies. They did the same thing regarding the attack on government workers. What their media touchstone was with that attack was a book called Plunder. I forget the subtitle, but it's about how government worker pensions are destroying America and all this.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, John Boehner says that worker unions have a machine gun to America's head.
Right, right. And that author of that book, Plunder, you know, was given free rein. He was all over the right-wing talk shows. He was on C-SPAN's Book TV. And I'm not criticizing Book TV. They definitely do both ends. And it's good to know what the right wing's up to. But, yeah, he was speaking at the Heritage Foundation and all that stuff. And next thing you know, they're able to buy all these these governorships, you know, and intensify the attack that's been going on for so long. You know, another attack that we're kind of missing, I think, is on another great public American institution, which is the post office. You know, first it gets caricatured as everyone there is kind of half cocked and ready to go off at any time. But I think if you compare violent incidents across professions, I'd be surprised if theirs was much higher. And then there's always the rumor that they're losing things all the time and they're caricatured in movies that way. But then 60 Minutes did a study themselves, and they were totally impressed with how efficient and accurate they were. My own experience has been incredible with the post office, and it's also a very democratic battle place. If that stuff gets more and more privatized, which is going on, they just closed 2,000 post offices over the next year or two, hardly a murmur of protest or concern about it. That should not be concentrated, and it should not be privatized. And again, there's a union there. The postal workers have been unionized generally. But again, the younger workers coming in, no. Sorry, that's going to be less encouraged. Benefits aren't going to be quite the same. Pay's not going to be so good. And, yeah, it's another problem for sure that the corporation's moving in to colonize it. Again, a public resource, a common good that we produced.
Right.
The dreaded collective was the producer of creating jobs, great for the economy, great for communications. Who's going to – and then some private tyranny is going to come in and privatize the profits, and it's going to be interesting how the pricing develops and stuff like that when FedEx and the rest of them get more and more into it, I guess. So anyway, something to keep in mind. You know, in some countries, too, the totalitarian ones, they're real quick to shut down the postal service, and we need allies and you know, people with a sense of a democratic spirit working those jobs. That's another thing. I like going to the post office. I like the clerks, and I don't know. It's a great democratic ritual to send something across the country for 40 cents. And
yeah, it still works.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, what else? And speaking of labor education, people learning more about labor issues, I want to mention how thankful I am that the Horn has been carrying the Rick Smith Show. I don't catch them all the time, but the episodes that I do catch are really educational and, yeah, lots of insight and very much appreciated.
Rick is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, he's struggling along like everybody else.
Yeah.
Deserves better. So, you know, hopefully that will happen. And, one of the things I'd love to see happen is to, you know, get him to an earlier time slot so more people can listen to it.
And he's based in Pennsylvania, right?
Yeah, Harrisburg.
Okay. Well, I haven't seen much on YouTube. Of course, the corporate media would never show much of anything, but even on YouTube, I haven't seen big rallies at Harrisburg's capital. But I'm hoping they're coming. Actually, there was a great one in Philadelphia in solidarity with the Wisconsin workers and, you know, people, you know, talking about their own issues in that town. So I won't be surprised if Harrisburg has had something or will have something. Denver has been very active recently, for sure. We had two rallies, union rallies, labor rallies, the first one of 1,000, and then the one on Saturday, the Move On coordinated project, we had about over 2,000 people. And the first rally had about 100 Tea Party people. The second one, even fewer. I was kind of glad they were there because they, well.
Well, they embarrassed themselves, didn't they?
Well, there's that going on.
Bless your heart. You just don't have it in you to say that they're a bunch of knuckle-walking oatmeal dribblers, do you, Preston? Bless you. And I love you for that. I really do. But they are.
I was so glad I had remembered to take a bunch of copies of progressive DVDs. And as I approached the Tea Party contingent, some of them were, like, suspicious. Like, what is that about? And I would say, like, I had the corporation with me. And I was like, it's about corporate power. And a couple of them were like, we like corporate power. It's like, okay. But a few of them were very open and very receptive to it. So, you know, you were saying earlier how, like, Rachel Maddow and Ed, sometimes it feels like we're just kind of talking to the converted already. Although I think they are getting new people every day.
I hope they are.
But I do understand the concern of it being kind of siloed and segregated. And I think people on the grassroots, we are really kind of the missing link, to borrow a term. But, you know, we need to, if we can, try to make opportunities to, you know, jiggle their thinking a little bit. And, you know, I think sometimes they'll jiggle our thinking, you know, because they've been listening to all these corporate lawyers and people who specialize in rhetoric and learning their rap. And they'll throw things at us that, you know, we need to kind of wrestle with and kind of think over and research. And it's work, you know, so I think sometimes we avoid it for that reason. But, you know, every now and again, just float something out there. And I think films like The Corporation are great outreach and education tools. You know, when you do approach a right winger with something like that, you can always say, hey, Milton Friedman's in it. Don't mention the part about Chomsky and Michael Moore and Naomi Klein being in it. So, yeah. What else? You know, I'd love to ask you about your cruise, but maybe you know, this is your last hour. I'm sure other people want to.
Well, little story, you know, little stories just sort of leak out as and I don't mean like, you know, Washington insider leaks, but things remind me of things kind of like happened earlier this evening talking with Sandra. And it was a magnificent experience. It was an experience beyond anything I ever expected it to be.
Oh, great.
It was just a delight from start to finish. As I've said, even the seasick part.
Ouch.
Well, no, I mean, that's because I'm a hardhead, Preston. Everybody said, take the medicine, Bob, take the medicine, Bob. Bob didn't want to take the medicine. This was my first time at sea, and I was kind of channeling the ghost of my dad and looking out at the horizon and trying to imagine a 19-year-old looking at the horizon off the deck of a flat top in the South Pacific under considerably more dangerous circumstances and harder circumstances, but just trying to commune with my dad a little bit. And I remembered him telling me about how sick he was the first time because it takes some getting used to. But 2 days in, everything was cool.
Great.
And sometimes it doesn't have to be a matter of getting better living through chemistry. Sometimes it's a matter of getting in touch with your environment. And yeah. So, you know, 2 days in, I was cool.
Great, great.
Hey, those first 2 days were hell, though, Preston.
Yeah.
I mean, it was right out of a Warner Brothers cartoon with Tweety Bird, and the ship walked and walked back and forth. And you know, I'm playing the role of Sylvester. Oh, look, he's turning Dwayne.
But eventually you were able to enjoy the...
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Smiled through the Captain Christopher Pike sunburn, you know, all of it.
I actually did a little bit of traveling myself. I went to North Carolina to see my dad.
Oh, nice.
He lives in Asheville.
How's dad?
He's pretty good.
Cool.
He's pretty good.
Asheville's a mighty nice place.
It is, definitely. A lot of very interesting things going on there. Beautiful, set right there in the Smoky Mountains. And, yeah, they have a lot of folk art going on there and community radio. And my dad's really enjoyed it. He's in a nice retirement community. And he has a nice community of friends there, for sure. And we found a wonderful Indian restaurant. And also I found a great yoga studio while I was there. Enjoyed that. And, you know, they've got street musicians, all kinds of good stuff going on. And I guess the next Democratic convention is going to be in North Carolina, in Charlotte.
It is, and I've got real mixed feelings about that. No, not mixed. You know, as we're watching what happens in Wisconsin and the vital importance of organized labor in our country, for the Democratic Party to go to the single most non-union state in the United States for its convention, yeah, it's a big mistake.
Right, right. Well, hopefully they'll get some pressure to, you know, book some labor-friendly hotels. I mean, maybe they've, like here in Denver, we've got some hotels that are unionized, others that aren't. I was so happy to see recently as kind of a response, a rebuke to Governor Walker, a bunch of professors at the University of Wisconsin-La Crosse voted to unionize. So, you know, maybe others will be similarly inspired. And, yeah, I think I mentioned to you that I'm in the union. I'm one of those dreaded government workers with the state.
Yeah, the ones who have a machine gun to America's head and aren't taxpayers. Right.
All the lavish this, that, and the other thing, and wonderful, right.
Yeah.
Something like that. But then again, decent as far as jobs go, decent in many ways in that it's a 40-hour work week. You know, that's getting more rare all the time. And so there's that, and I do have the opportunity to be in a union and some decent procedures and stuff, you know, manager-worker-bee relation stuff that's more fair, I think, oftentimes. And, you know, some paid days off and, you know, President's Day, ooh, they resent us, you know, the way they pit workers against each other, try to stoke envy and resentment, and so it's, well, why should they get that if I don't, you know?
Well, and my response to that has always been, Preston, well, why don't you demand the day off yourself?
Exactly. Why don't you?
Why don't you organize, Buster?
Yeah. Or you know, these people often even have friends or relatives who are having this day off. Do they resent them for that, or do they want to be happy for that person and, you know, hope they can have access, you know, it's open to everybody, every taxpayer, you know, has an opportunity, and, you know, if we do better, the private sector does better, you know, it's shameful.
There is no sector of society that has not been benefited by better conditions for workers in other sectors. It's just a fact.
Yeah.
We go forward and we succeed as a nation, Preston, when we look to each other's well-being. And what the Republicans have semi-successfully done and is being turned back in Wisconsin is this idea that America is a jungle where we all have to be willing to do each other in. You know, this country has never succeeded and has never thrived on a model like the reality show Survivor. It's not about, you know, stabbing people in the back and outlasting and out conniving and no.
That, you know, that's the message of all those mafia shows, the endless mafia movies and programs. I'm sure there'll be another one coming up in the next year. Now the current one is Boardwalk, you know.
Boardwalk Empire, yeah.
Yeah, that's the theme of these things. It's dog eat dog. Smash everybody else in the face who tries to take your stuff. They're ugly. And people know this stuff by heart, you know, the lines to the Godfather and stuff. Maybe we should know it as a cultural touchstone, but let's look at what this thing is and what its message is. And I don't think it's a pretty one at all. In fact, we have a right-wing radio host here who regularly plays audio clips from Goodfellas. And it just... I think it's obscene.
Well, no, I mean, I'm guilty of it, too. But the thing is,
likewise,
usually
likewise.
When I bring it up, Preston, you know, one of my favorite lines is Abe Vigoda saying, tell Michael I always liked him. It was only business.
Right.
And see, that, and maybe that's the secret. Maybe that's the little secret the Republicans don't want us to know, is that the mafiosi of the Godfather are actually their economic and business model. As long as you can say it was only business, you can do whatever you want. As long as you say it's business, you can screw the poor, pauperize the middle class, eliminate the middle class, elevate the rich at everyone's expense, as long as, you know, it was only business.
Right. Then again, maybe some of these programs are exposing that, rather than modeling it. But either way, we need to take mindfulness into the watching these shows. And, I think some are really pushing.
And speaking of mindfulness watching shows, did you happen to get, and I wanted to make sure that I mentioned this tonight because, whatever it takes for people to see it, I want them to see it. Did you happen to get to see No Reservations last night? Tony Bourdain.
No. Was there a new episode?
Yeah, the new season started last night, and it started last night with Haiti.
Okay.
And if anybody ever wants to find out why it is that I am the fan that I am of Tony Bourdain's work, go watch that episode. Because if he's not careful, he's going to wind up, some people are going, oh, wait, he's doing journalism. Because he was. There was some delightful food and great conversation along the way. But the time that he spent with Sean Penn and the humanitarian work that he's doing, you know, it's funny. I didn't see Chuck Norris down there. I didn't see Ted Nugent down there.
That's great to hear that he did that. You know, and that show is a good example of how entertainment culture can be the opposite of something as kind of vile as the mafia themed stuff, you know, and Bourdain and Zimmerman also. Both those shows are about what? Respect for other people, sharing,
yeah.
Curiosity. That's life.
Yeah, the hated multiculturalism.
Life. Yeah, yeah. And I think it's much closer to our nature as well. You know, people again try to convince us that want to be the Don, the tough guy, whatever, is, you know, what to aspire to, but it's boring and grotesque, actually, to, I think, most emotionally healthy people. And to live like, you know, curious people and kind people, I think, is something much more fun to aspire to. And I want to mention one last thing, kind of the different kind of trends we can see in church. You mentioned Jim Wallace earlier tonight.
Right.
And he was on Ed Schultz's show today. It was great. And that whole campaign of what would Jesus cut? And Jim Wallace was making all those great points about the gospel and stuff. Well, along those notes, I went to church myself, actually, this past Sunday for the first time in a while. And I went back to a Unitarian church in my neighborhood.
That's nice.
It is nice. And remember, this is the one where it was at Tennessee, where somebody who had been listening to too much right-wing radio charged in with a gun.
Right.
Screaming about liberals and opening fire. But, again, when we feel despair about all that right-wing so-called Christianity, the militant Christianity on TV and all the charlatans, there is this other progressive spiritual energy.
Well, indeed, and I hope to talk a little bit about that tomorrow night on prayer meeting. Unfortunately, right now, I gotta get out of here, Preston, because
okay.
I just realized I'm a minute away from running over Rick.
Cool. Well, I'll call tomorrow if I can, but otherwise, have a great week, and we will chat again soon.
Okay, thank you, Preston. Take care.
Thanks, Bob. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye now. And it is, seriously, time for me to get out of here. Thank you to everyone that makes all of this happen, all of this go, all of this work. And a special thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, and ColeRiverWind.org. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.